Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Radio Networks on Sunday, August 12th, 2012. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the 900th episode of The Tech Guy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com. Click the radio microphone and use the offer code TechGuy. At Stamps.com, promo code TechGuy. And by RingCentral. We do everything in the cloud. That's why I love my cloud-based phone system from RingCentral. Zero startup costs, and RingCentral is $20 per month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. And when you buy one desk phone, you'll get a second phone free up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. Well, a good day to you, my friend. Welcome to the Tech Guy Show. This is a radio show. We figured that out. Talk about stating the obvious. This is a radio show, which would explain why it's appearing on your radio right now, that talks about technology. Computers, of course, and the internet and cell phones. That's a big part of our technology life these days, isn't it? Digital photography, home theater, stuff like that. Anything with a chip in it. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number if you want to call in. It's a call-in show. It means you can ask questions, make comments, make suggestions. 888. I say 8888. Ask Leo, because that's easy to remember. You know, two pianos, 88 keys. So two of those, and then an ask and then a Leo. See, that's easy to remember. That's a mnemonic. But if you don't want the mnemonic, you want the digits. This would be, especially if you're calling from outside the U.S., 1-888. That's toll free. 827. That's the prefix. I'm just slowing myself down. I don't even remember it now. I can't remember it now. I slowed myself so down. I don't know what it is. 888-827-8856. Is that right? I don't even know. You know what? You could go to the website. It's there. It's on the website, right in the front page. The new website is up. TechGuyLabs.com. TechGuyLabs.com. And that's where Josh is taking all the show notes, writing everything down. He's, I shouldn't say just Josh, James Ruvo also. So every episode is there. Questions, answers, video, audio, the works. The kit und the caboodle. It's all there. Josh is not taking show notes, he said. Thank you, Josh. James is. Josh comes in afterwards and ties it all into the video. That's what Josh does. You know what today is, though, and it's a good day to talk about this. It's our 900th episode. There are, on the website, 900 episodes now. Wow. And we were talking about, 900 is not a huge deal, but 1,000, now that's a big deal. I've been doing this particular show. I've been the tech guy since 2004. I've been doing computer talk radio since 91. So really, this is like more than 20 years doing this. But this show, the Tech Guy show, and it became the Tech Guy because I inherited it from, I think he was the computer guy on KFI. See, it rhymed, in Los Angeles. And so when they hired me, I was the tech guy on KFI, and because of the rhyme, and then it just stuck. And now I don't think they trade. I hope they did. They trademark it. I hope they trademark. I didn't trademark it. If you want, you could be a tech guy. Somebody tweeted yesterday to their friend, "You are a tech guy, but only Leo Laporte is the tech guy." Okay, well, we'll take that. The tech guy. 900 shows. Isn't that great? Now, I'm thinking, and I'll have to talk to our stations in the Premier Radio Network. The Tech Guy Network is now 180 stations strong. We should do something. The 1,000th show will be almost a year from now. I do 1,004 shows a year. No, that's not right. 104 shows a year. 104 shows a year. So 1,000 will be in early August of 2013. You know what, John? Maybe we should take it to Disneyland or Disney World. What do you think? I could have Mickey on the show. It's always been a Mickey Mouse show, but I could have Mickey officially on the show. That'd be kind of fun. Or what else? What other things could we do for show 1,000? Anyway, yes. Web2784 in our chat room says, Leo's having trouble with numbers today. I am. Should we do a broadcast from the Ohio State University, the tech guy? That'd be good. I have an Ohio State mug, thanks to one of our chat mods, Darth Emma. Disney World would be good. What do you think? You guys are from Florida. Disney World. Yeah. August in Disney World. Beautiful, isn't it? Great time of year. A warm, really? From the beach would be good. Maybe I should do it from a beach somewhere. No, you don't want to see me in a swimsuit. Phone number 8888 Ask Leo, website techguylabs.com. And anything you that's on your mind today, we could talk about. I know a lot of people are waiting with bated breath for the new iPhone, which, you know, Apple never says. They never tell you ahead of time. So we don't know really when it's coming out, but the rumors are so strong. You know, sometimes the rumor mill just gets, the drumbeat gets so strong, you just have to believe it. Boom, 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 boom. Apple's gonna have an event in September and announce the iPhone 5. Boom, 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 boom. You know, even when the Wall Street Journal says it, you know, it's got to be true at that point. If the big boys, not just the little, you know, there's so many Apple rumor mills, rumor sites, you know. Apple Insider, 9 to 5, Mac, Mac Rumors, theoriginal.com. You know, there's so many of them, and they, you know, boom, 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 boom. But then when the All Things D, boom, 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 picks up the drumbeat, and then boom, 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 when the prestigious Wall Street and the New York Times, boom, 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 it's getting louder. So this, and it seems to be the consensus, is that we will have a new iPhone announcement in early September, and it will ship 2 weeks after that. That seems about right. I mean, that's when they do it normally. They first started, they released the first iPhone in June. But was it last year? They slipped it a little bit. And so now the consensus seems to be September 12th for an announcement, September 21st for a release. The name, we don't know. That's the one thing no one knows. We're all calling it the iPhone 5. Seems unlikely. Given that the iPad 3 is just called the new iPad, I think there's even money it's going to be the new iPhone. They're just dropping the numbers. I don't like, because I can't. Now, how do I describe it? I have to say. The new iPhone, which was released in September of 2012, supposedly a bigger screen. The current iPhone 3.5 inches. That's looking awfully small compared to the crop of hot Android phones. And I think some people like a small phone. They don't want a big old phone. 3.5 inches with a Retina display looks nice. But, it's feeling a little small. I don't know. I like a bigger phone. So the rumor is that Apple will release a tall iPhone, 4-inch screen, but it will be 16 by 9, which means I think they're saying the resolution is this weird resolution of 1136 by 640. Which is just weird. That's what the rumor mill says. The rumor mill also says, and I think this has to be true, or Apple will really be out, that they'll have LTE, the new high-speed networks on AT&T and Verizon. Sprint is starting to roll out LTE, so I figure the Sprint phone will also have it. And they've got to do that. They just don't have a choice. New chipset, faster chipset, of course. Some people are saying it's going to be the first unibody iPhone, kind of like the laptops are unibody, you know, the all-aluminum unibody. They'll do something like that. It'd be nice to go back to metal. I frankly think the iPhone is really breakable. How many of you have broken your iPhone? Everybody in my family has broken their iPhone. I've never smashed the glass. I dipped it in a glass of water. That was a mistake. It was an experiment that went badly awry. But I've never broken the glass or even scratched it. One nice thing about glass is hard. It doesn't scratch as easily as plastic. But everybody in my family have broken their iPhones. And, you know, the good thing is it's only $100. You can replace the glass. Just, you know, there are a lot of people do that for $100 or thereabouts. So it would be fun to see an all metal iPhone. Now, the competition's heating up. We'll talk about Samsung. You know, they're in a big lawsuit with Apple now. Apple says, you copy us. Samsung says, well, then take that. We'll talk about their release in just a bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Rod 19 Moore in our chat room asks, when is Twit going to go HTML5? It's not really up to us. We have we use third parties for our video, Ustream Flash. Although they have an HTML5 feed, so you can use the Ustream HTML5 feed. BitGravity Flash, Justin.tv Flash. We do pay for an HTML5. That's what you're calling it. It's not technically HTML5. We're paying for a HLS stream because, of course, you can't watch Flash on the iPhone. So we do have an HLS stream that we pay for through Flowsoft in the Netherlands. And that feed is what you'll see if you use the Twit iPhone app. Not sure what they're using on the Twit Android app. I think they're also using that HLS feed. Or if you go to, on your iPhone or your device, live.twit.tv, and you pick audio, you'll see if you do it on an iPhone, you get a weird, different-looking screen, and you could pick video, and that's going to be HLS, because obviously there's no Flash. Android, unfortunately, doesn't handle the industry standard M3, whatever it is, U8, whatever that that file is that we send to the iPhone. And so Android, you have to use an app to watch us on Android, I think. So the Android app that I recommend is the one from FCON, F-C-O-N. It's very good. And then the on the iPhone, our friend Craig, who's probably in the chat room, Houdini7, makes a really good one. I know he's updating his Android, and of course I'll recommend that one when it's updated. But I'll just show you the... I don't have my iPhone, but I can show you the FCON. Well, you know what? It's on the desktop. I don't know why I'm searching there. I think it's on the desktop. Where is it? Oh, maybe not. It's in video? Oh, it's in audio. That's a strange place to put it. So, as with all our apps, you get to download existing shows, listen to the live audio or watch the live video. And so this, if you're watching this, that's an HLS stream. That's
supposed to kind of brute force, like the 10,000 meter.
It's a really oldie. So why is that so far behind?
I appreciate the skill involved in that.
Wait a minute, that's bizarre. How come, is that stuck in a loop? Let's go back to live video. It's in a loop on the Flowsoft.
So that's, I can't do that.
Can you look at the Flowsoft?
Involved in that, but it seems more brute force than fine skill.
Oh, but to watch.
Yeah, it's something wrong with the feed. See if the audio is okay. Yeah, the audio is okay. The audio is okay. Is the audio okay? The audio is okay. Or is it?
Yeah, the audio.
Yeah. Okay. Is the audio okay?
The audio is okay.
Oh, okay. But is the audio okay?
Is the audio okay?
Yeah, the audio is okay.
The audio is okay.
Okay. It's lucky the audio is okay.
Or is it?
No, it's okay.
Is the audio okay?
The audio's okay.
Oh, okay. But is the audio okay?
Is the audio okay?
Yeah, the audio's okay.
The audio's okay.
Okay. It's lucky the audio's okay.
Or is it?
No, it's okay.
Yeah. Is the audio okay?
I just screwed up the audio. Something fierce. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, episode 900 of the Tech Guy Show. The phone number 8888-ASK. Leo, I'll talk about this Samsung response. I just love this. You know, Samsung and Apple are in this heated court battle. Samsung is being sued by Apple because Apple said, "You copied us." And Samsung said, "No, we didn't." And so, and they, by the way, Apple, I think, wants $2 billion in damages. Whoa! And they want, you know, to the courts and the ITC, the International Trade Commission, to halt sales of all Samsung products in the United States now. You know, and there's an irony to the whole thing because Apple is not immune from this. Apple copies Samsung as well, or Android, because really that's what this is about. Apple doesn't want to sue Google because it's hard to say damages, you know, what the damages are. So they're suing somebody that actually sells something. Google just provides the operating system for free. But make no mistake, this is really Apple versus Google by proxy. And because Samsung is the best-selling smartphone, even better-selling than the iPhone, it's just kind of, that's where they're going. That's where they're going after. There's a Tumblr. It's kind of interesting. Samsung copies Apple. If you get in a fight with somebody and they say, "Oh, you just don't like Apple. You just don't like Apple." There's a Samsung. Here's the Samsung copies Apple weblog, which shows all the things that Samsung copied from Apple. But there's also Apple copies Samsung. And you know what? It goes both ways. You know why? Because that's how the computer industry is. Apple and Samsung and every other company go back and forth all the time. That's how it is, and that's how you and I want it, because that's what makes products better. You don't want one company to own touchscreens, then nobody else can make one. No, you want everybody to make touchscreens. And this is good. This is good. This is what we want. Now, I don't want somebody stealing, but you can be inspired by. And how many different ways are there to make a tablet after all? You know, I was a little disappointed. It was for a technical reason, but the judge, Samsung wanted to introduce into the Samsung Apple trial video from a movie that came out in the 60s. Remember 2001, A Space Odyssey? And in that movie, as the astronauts are working on the space lab or whatever it is they're in, the spaceship, they're running around, they're eating breakfast, and they've got a tablet. And they're watching the news. And it looks just like an iPad. It's from 1969. And the judge said, "No, you can't introduce that." Which just kind of, it was for technical reasons. It wasn't, but it just is not right. Because the jury should see this and understand that a tablet is a tablet. It's a tablet. And Apple didn't invent the idea. They perfected it. But that doesn't give them the right, the only company ever to make tablets from now on. It's a good thing Apple didn't design the first airplane or car or refrigerator, says Web6046 in our chat room. Exactly. So it's unfortunate because, you know, of course, if they stole something, you know, outright, if they took code or they completely copied something, that's one thing. But if they were inspired by, that's how the industry works. Apple took notifications, drop-down notifications from Android. Apple took plenty of things from Android. Apple's claiming, for instance, Samsung stole the icon for the telephone. It's a green icon with a phone handset in it. And I thought the Samsung lawyers made a pretty good case with the Apple designer they had on the stand saying, they showed him a 1939 phone. See that? At the handset? You mean that handset? The one Samsung stole from Apple? You mean the one from 1939? That one? Yeah. What color is a green light? Green. What does that mean? Go. Mm. So a green icon with a 1939 telephone handset in it. Apple owns that? You tell me. Well, it's got rounded corners. Oh, Apple owns rounded corners now. Yeah. Please. Come on. $2 billion in damages. Really? It feels to me like Apple's trying to put the competition out of business. They just want to own this sucker. Now, I don't blame them. They have a fiduciary responsibility to the stakeholders to make as billions and jillions and gajillions of dollars if they can. I really hope I really hope that justice is served here because it's good for us. Maybe not as good for Apple. Yeah, it would be better for Apple to win this case. Of course it would. And there may even be some merit. But what is right for society as a whole, companies should be allowed to kind of, sort of, be inspired by. I don't mean direct copy, but inspired by other companies. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. We all do. I didn't invent talk radio, baby. Gary in Ontario, California. You're our first call. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Gary.
Yeah, how you doing, Leo?
I'm well. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I've talked to you a couple times before and got some good information. I'm trying to figure out what the legality is with radio resource of broadcasting, you know, not necessarily police departments. I know there's police departments on there and everything, but I've got a campus safety system that's digital, and I'm decoding it, and they're trying to tell me I can't monitor them.
Oh, that's really interesting. You know, you'd have to look at the local law, I would guess. Generally speaking, stuff the government produces is owned by all of us, right? Because it's taxpayer dollars and so forth. But when you're talking public safety, and this is public safety, right? There certainly are laws about having a police scanner and rebroadcasting a police scanner. So I would guess that the law is what protects it here, not trademark, copyright, or patent law, not intellectual property law, but in fact, law. Now, when you say decoding, do you feel that the encoding was done to scramble it, to make it private?
Well, not necessarily. They kind of think in their heads that because it's digital, that nobody can listen. But there's currently a lot of software out there, and it's Moto Turbo is what I'm talking about. It's kind of widespread now, and so it's not like it's scrambled, essentially.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I would, you know, if they're saying that, I would consult a lawyer, because I am not. And I'm not even an expert in intellectual property by any means, you know, so I'm the wrong guy probably to ask. One of our chatters is a ham. And, of course, I am, too, and we have some interest in this. James VA3JPX says, you are allowed to listen. You can't obviously use it for police or fire chasing because that would, you know, interfere with public safety. And James says, and I don't know if, you know, James not a lawyer, but he's a ham. He says you can't make it public either. I don't know. I don't know what the legalities are, whether they're local, state, federal laws, FCC regulations. I just don't know. But
I've spent a lot of time looking, and I'm not really getting the answer I want. And, you know, Radio Resource, you can get every police department in
right.
the whole U.S.
Right. There are a lot of scanning. You know, TuneIn Radio has scanners. There's a lot of I listen to public safety all the time. I would guess.
Right.
I mean, certainly, I shouldn't guess. I don't know. I don't
yeah.
know. I would say that, especially in this post-9/11 world, that public safety radio broadcasts are probably somewhat protected. But I just don't know. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. A university security, I would say, is probably protected under whatever public safety rules are. But again, I'm totally guessing. Do not know.
You want to try the live stream again?
Yeah. Was it something? Was FlowSoft broken? What do you think? You think it was Wirecast?
Well, I actually got Colin to do it, so
we don't know. So let's check. Let's check. Let's find out.
I just saw that machine has restarted. So.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to you. I want to.
Yeah, the audio's okay. The audio's okay. Okay.
That's the audio. So we now the audio is still okay. The audio really should stop that right now. I don't know if I broke it. It feels like I broke that. Look at the video. If the video's doing that, we're really in trouble.
As opposed to kind of brute force,
but maybe it's this app.
Run. Okay, so that's I can't do that. I appreciate the skill involved in
ask
that.
If anybody's watching on Roku.
More brute force than
Roku also uses his stream. Is anybody watching on Roku in the chat room? There's a big delay, but it shouldn't be a day delay. iPad FlowSoft is fine, so it must just be my something going on. Let me force close that that app. and start over. End twit.tv. End it. All right, now let's try. Now let's try it. This is the Samsung Galaxy S3, which I do adore. This is an example of, I think, what Apple's really worried about. 4.3 inches, gorgeous screen, same, you know, roughly same Retina res. What was I doing? Twitch TV. My video.
Opposed to kind of brute force, like the 10,000
meter. It's still doing it.
I can't do that. I appreciate this.
I wonder if this is the app.
It seems more brute force.
Live.twit.tv. I do have Flash on here, but I don't think it likes it. Can you pick a non-Flash stream on this? I guess you can't. Bit gravity high is Saturday. Bit gravity low is okay. So it's a Ustream glitch? Well, no, because that's not Ustream. I don't think that's... Maybe that app pulls from Ustream. Do we have a Roku box here? iOS app is doing the same thing on video. Well, Apple supposedly, Joey, licensed it from Xerox, but, you know, it goes back and forth, back and forth. Let's see what's going on live.twit.tv. That's good. That's what is this? Ustream? Bitgravity? Let's look at Bitgravity. Bitgravity's okay. Bitgravity's okay. Ustream is okay. Justin is okay. No, yeah, yeah. So they're all doing what they're supposed to do, which is a little bit of an Inception thing. So Farcord's not having a try. I don't know what's going on. Let's go to Wally, Cincinnati, Ohio. He called 8888 Ask Leo. Hi, Wally.
How you doing, Leo?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I got to say one thing. I listened to yesterday's show, and you scarily do Herbert too well.
From the Family Guy, Herbert the pervert. Yeah.
Hello,
Muscly Arms. Yeah. Now, I shouldn't be doing that voice. I'm going to get in trouble, I know.
Yeah.
Did I do it on the air or just off the air? I hope I just did it off the air.
I don't know.
This is the problem. You know, we have cameras in the studio, and we have audio in the studio, and you can watch on the website. And I very much confuse what is actually on the radio, like with a million people listening, and what is just on the internet back channel, where it's just a handful of you.
Yeah, I used to work in radio, and I've corrected myself. Did I say that on the radio?
Exactly. I've been doing this since 1976, 36 years now, and I can't tell anymore. I'll wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. My kids say, why don't you ever swear? And I say, because I can't remember if I'm on the radio or not. So anyway, you're an old radio guy too, Wally? That's cool.
Yeah, I used to work at an oldie station here in Cincinnati, and then I decided to move into engineering, and that was the biggest mistake I ever did, because then they acquired a couple of stations and two of their engineers, and I was the low engineer on the totem pole. Out the door I went.
I'm not going to say anything because I'm still on radio.
There you go.
But I am deeply sympathetic. Been there, done that.
So here's what I'm looking for, and I've done a search online, and all I come up with is everything that's reversed of what I'm looking for.
Okay.
I have my iPhone. Every time I get in my van, I got to hunt around for the other end of the eighth-inch cable and plug it into the iPhone to listen to the tech guy and all your podcasts on Twit.
Yay.
Because I don't listen to local radio anymore.
Yay.
So I need a doohickey that's got a Bluetooth receiver on it and an eighth-inch jack that'll plug into my auxiliary in.
Okay.
Because the car stereo I have does not have a Bluetooth receiver.
Right.
And I was wondering if you knew anything that's that can do that.
Instead of, you want to use Bluetooth instead of having to hunt around for the cable all the time.
Yeah. I don't want to fumble around for the cable looking for the thing every time I get in my van.
Yeah. I don't blame you. So you want kind of an aftermarket. I mean, there are head ends that have aftermarket head ends that you could put in. That's
right. I've got a JVC, and it's the lower end one that doesn't have Bluetooth, and it doesn't have a USB port on it either.
Right.
Because I've noticed JVC sells one with a
sure, everybody does USB. Now. Alpine would be my choice if you're getting a new head end. They really do state of the art. Now, you know, there's going to be this huge disruption, because one thing I did not mention about the new iPhone is they're changing the cable. You're using the audio jack. That's kind of, audio jacks are forever. But the digital bottom, the 30-pin port at the bottom is going to be changing to a new 19-pin, completely incompatible port. And there are quite a few car stereo manufacturers who put docking stations in.
Right.
And for them, they're really in trouble. So that's why USB is a better choice, because you can get a different cable. But you want to do Bluetooth. You don't want any cables.
Right. I want to plug something into the auxiliary input on the front of my head end.
I get it.
A Bluetooth receiver that will pair with my iPhone every time I get into the van.
Now, as you know, as an old radio engineer, there's a lot of FM transmitting devices, Belkin, Griffin, a lot of them make those. And I don't recommend them. You're in Cincinnati, there's probably 70 or 80 radio signals, and it's just very hard to find a free channel. So I think I find it very annoying. So I don't recommend the radio transmitters unless you live in an area where there's a lot of free space on the radio dial. You could quickly verify that one way or the other. Just tune down the dial.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of space.
It's impossible in a big city like Cincinnati. You're not going to be able to do it. I could do it here in Petaluma. As soon as I start getting close to San Francisco, forget it. It stops working. So I abandoned that. I have an old enough car. My old car had a cassette deck, and that was actually a very good way to do it. But you have a mini jack, so a mini audio thing. So what you want is a Bluetooth A2DP dongle that will go to an audio jack. Now they're saying, let me just see. There are plenty of these, by the way. I've never tried any of them. Target makes them. There's something called the Chatterbox. But I don't know. I don't have any experience with these. As long as it does A2DP, here's one called the Wireless Bluetooth Stereo Music Transmitter. $20. This is on Amazon. And it's exactly what you want. It just...
Well, no, that's going the other way.
Oh, is it going the other way?
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's if you had a Bluetooth car and you didn't have a Bluetooth phone. We don't want that. We don't want that, do we?
I need it the other way. I need the receiver with an eighth inch out that'll plug in.
Yeah, there are quite a few of these that turn, say, an iPod into a Bluetooth device.
Right.
I see which. So you've probably done this same search. Let's see. The chat room is coming through as usual with a lot of links. Make sure if you find a link, kids, that it's doing what he wants, not the other, what I thought, which was the other way around. Here's a Belkin Bluetooth music receiver. Remember, see, it's hard to figure out when you look at these. Play music from your iPhone, iPod Touch wirelessly through your home stereo. Yeah, this seems like this is what you're looking for. So Belkin makes one for $25. Belkin is one of those companies, you probably already know this, Wally, that takes existing hardware out of China, Korea, Japan, and rebrands it. So I would guess that if you're buying it from Belkin, there's probably 30 other companies that are selling exactly the same hardware. This looks good. It's a EDR A2DP, which means you're going to get stereo. I've had very good results using Bluetooth. My car stereo has Bluetooth built in. I've got the Ford Sync, and it works great. I get in the car, it starts playing. I get out of the car, it stops playing. This looks like this is what you want.
Yeah, buying a new car to do this is just a lot of money.
Can I recommend you buy a Ford vehicle with the... You've heard a few of our ads, have you there, Wally? This is a little less expensive than buying a new Mustang. Maybe not as much fun. It's $25. I would guess it's a good one. Go Groove, sorry bum, in our chat room says the Go Groove is a little more expensive. It's $30, but he's used that, and he says it works really well. I like the name, Go Groove. So it looks like there are some choices out there, Wally. I just don't have any experience with any of them. You know what? I'll order a couple of these, and we should do a...
The only thing I ran into was something, and up north in Springdale, Ohio, is a company called Parts Express, and they've got all kinds of
things. Love those kinds of places. I could haunt those places.
I went up there to buy one thing. I think I spent $200.
Yep. That's how you know you're a geek, by the way.
I know. It's but what they sell one, but it's not in a case. It's got bare wires on it. You know, you solder your own 1/8-inch connector to it.
Yeah.
USB, and I'm like, well, I don't want to go through all that.
Yeah, there's a blog called Hackaday that has exactly that. But you don't want to do that. No, I would try the Belkin or the Go Groove. Those sound like good choices. And, you know, if they don't work great, they're only $20, $25. It's not bad. Belkin, I would guess it's going to work just fine for you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I've been very, very happy, actually, with A2DP Bluetooth. It does an excellent job. Can I tell you something else I'm very happy with? I am really happy with our phone system. I haven't talked about this lately with you. Ring Central. So when it was funny. I didn't, you know, as a business owner, this is my first business. So I never thought about anything like this, right? And when we were in the cottage, just everybody used their cell phone. We grew kind of organically. So we just said, you know, we don't have a phone system. We had one line and one phone. I think it was a cordless phone. And that was all right. Now, we're building this studio a year ago. We got 25 employees. We've got a front desk. We kind of need a phone system. And the thing I did not want to do is put the traditional. And I was aware of this. You know, you get a Northtel PBX and you put it in the basement and you've got this expensive hardware and you have to program it. It's crazy. So I didn't know. I really, truly did not know what to do. At first I thought, well, just let them keep using their cell phones. But that's not going to work. We need a company line, company number, answering, you know, voicemail. You need switching, you know, you need all that stuff. So Russell Tammany, who I have to say, I celebrate him all the time. Don't we, John? Aren't we glad Russell is in our life? He is such a good IT guy. He doesn't work for us. He's a contract IT guy. And he said, well, I've installed RingCentral in a bunch of businesses, and I've had very good results. What was weird was I said, okay, let's get RingCentral. And the next day, Ring Central calls us and said, you know, we want to advertise on the radio show. I said, okay. Just so happens, we're already putting you in. So that was kind of amazing. You get phones. You just plug them in. There's no configuration. There's no PBX. It's all in the cloud. So there's zero startup cost. Cost is as low as $20 per month per user, which is a very good deal. That's all inclusive, and in fact, includes long distance and everything. And you've got smartphone apps, this is so cool. I've got the RingCentral app on my iPhone, Android phone, and so when a call comes in, I can actually have it route to my RingCentral app. I don't want to show my phone number. I won't show the phone number. How do I do this? Anyway. There, I deleted a little bit of it. So you get the RingCentral app. So what this does, this is cool. I can make a phone call from my cell phone that's paid, goes through RingCentral, paid RingCentral, you know, the company pays for it. It appears to be the company number calling. Callbacks go to the company number. I can have them transferred to my phone. I get voicemail in my inbox, a bunch, you know, all the stuff that just faxes in your inbox. It's great for our producers. They really love it. So here's the deal. As I said, $20 per month per user is a starting price. You can start right now with a 30-day risk-free trial and a special offer just for podcast listeners. When you buy one desk phone, you get a second phone free up to 20 phones. So that cuts the phone cost in half. By the way, you own those. You buy them. You get to choose what you want. So call this number. Now, this is a special number just for listeners to the podcast. 800-543-9980. And they are watching that number, 800-543-9980. Or you can go to ringcentral.com and use the promo code TWIT. Just got to check to see I'm still in break, yeah. Ringcentral.com, promo code TWIT, or 800. I should put this in the lower third. 800-543-9980. 800. Okay, can I fit this anywhere? 800, I can't. There's no room. 543-9980. Try it today. I think you really will be happy. Just thank Russell Tammany for it. All right, here we go. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Back to the phones we go to Carlsbad, California, listening to the great KFI, Robert. Hey, Robert, Leo Laporte here.
Hey, Leo. This is a serious question. You've been having a lot of fun this morning, but here I go.
Okay.
I have a tremendous amount of medical scientific data.
Okay.
We're talking about maybe 100,000 documents.
Holy moly.
And that's a low end. It could be as high as 300,000. Other people have attempted this project and have failed. So then it was given to me, and I'm calling you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you're laughing. So my question is, this is like medical scientific data. The people before me tried to transcribe it manually. Yeah. I don't know what they were thinking, but it didn't work because when they went to use that documentation, the product didn't come out. There were errors that were made.
Human errors, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. So my question is, how do I get that all that documentation out of those binders as is onto a disk?
Well, okay, so here's there's two ways to do it. Humans, and with 300,000 pages of documents, that's going to be costly and time consuming. And as you say, there's errors. The other way to do it would be mechanically, and you could go out and get a sheet feed scanner that you could put in a stack of hundreds of pages at a time, just like a Xerox machine. You know, it goes choop, 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 and goes through it, and it scans it. Now, what you'll have, now, if there's staples and so forth, you're going to have to, or, you know, the corners are curled and stuff, it's the sheet feed could get jammed easily. You're going to have to monitor it, but it's not going to, for most, if it's all in binders, it's probably going to go through pretty easily. So then now what you're going to have is an image. You're not going to have editable text. You're going to have an image. Most scanners come with something called optical character recognition or OCR software, and that's going to go through it and take that image and do the best it can. It will not be perfect, but do the best it can to transcribe it. The better the text, the bigger the text, the crisper the text, the easier and better it will do. You might look at, they do have medically focused OCR, so it'll do a better job if you get a package that's designed for medicine. Because if you think about it, the medical vocabulary is constrained, so that makes it a little bit easier. None of this is handwritten, I hope.
No, but I'm glad you brought that up. Some of it, it's like what you were saying about the staples and things.
Yeah.
There's page discoloration.
Here's what you're going to have to do. You can do it all, boom, boom, boom. It'll take you, a week or so, maybe. I don't know how long it'll take. But you can go through and scan it all. Put that on disks. Now you've got copies. It's basically pictures of, but at least you'll have that. And then you can run it through the OCR. That's going to take a little bit longer. The best OCR comes from a company called Nuance, that mostly because they just bought everything. And nuance.com. And then some of it will be good and some of it will not. And those you will probably want to then hire a medical transcriptionist or somebody who has experience doing medical stuff to spot check or fix it up. But nothing is perfect, I understand. And so you just have to understand that there's going to be a 5%, 1%, I don't know what number, usually around between 1% and 5% error rate. Huh? So it can be done. I would suggest, depending on how much you want to spend, you can do this, by the way, fairly inexpensively with consumer scanners from Epson and Canon and others that will do just a fine job of scanning it in and then the consumer-grade OCR. But if you can afford it, I would get stuff that's designed for medicine because, again, the constrained vocabulary means you'll actually be more accurate. And, of course, there are companies that will do this. Chat room, FIFO in the chat room is pointing out there's a company called MicroFacts, MicroFacs, that specializes in making searchable documents using OCR. And they probably are going to pay people to do the spot checking and so forth. So it's really a question of how much money you have to devote to it. That's an awful lot of documents. But it certainly can be done pretty well. And I would guess that if it's crisp and well-formed, you know, printed text, that's not too small a typeface, you'll get very accurate scanning results. It's going to be on the handwritten stuff, it would be illegible. You'll have to do that with a human. And stuff where it's faded or messed up is going to be a lot harder. Good luck. That's a challenge. To San Paulo, Brazil. Manny's on the line. Hi, Manny.
How are you, Leo?
I'm great. You're watching the Olympics thinking it's us in 4 years, right? Well, not in San Paulo, but that's exciting. Will you go to Rio for the Olympics or will you stay far, far away?
No, I actually don't live here. I'm just down.
Uh-oh, did we lose him? Are you there? Oh. It must be on Skype, and it did a cutoff. Kyle, do you have any sense of whether he's still there, or are we? He said he has young kids, and he wants to know if AppleCare will cover if kids drop the phone. AppleCare does not cover accidental breakage. AppleCare is just an extended warranty. There's some companies that will sell extended breakage coverage. Your phone company might. If you're in the U.S., I believe Verizon and AT&T do. It's expensive. But I should tell you something. I have seen Apple replace broken iPhones. Sometimes free, sometimes for $200. So when you bring in a broken phone, you have to make an appointment at the Genius Bar. This is how Apple stores do it. You go to the Genius Bar. And the Genius has a lot of leeway, it turns out. I've corresponded with Geniuses anonymously. And they've said, let me tell you how this works. We're going to have to justify this to the manager. We can't just be giving away stuff right and left. But we have a lot of leeway. I remember my daughter, for instance, 2 weeks, bought her a new iPhone. 2 weeks in, she dropped it by accident. She's an attractive young lady. So she walked in. I don't know if it had anything to do with that, but she walked into the... Oh, I think we dropped them. I'm doing a show to nobody. So I'm doing a show to nobody, huh? I have a lock too, and I'm. Is it something, John, over here? Is something wrong with our mixer? You know what? I think it's something wrong with our mixer. Would you reset the radius? Because I'm seeing it come back just fine on the Zephyr. So I don't think it's you, Kyle. We're going to reset our mixer. I think our mixer might have died. It kept going. I don't hear a commercial yet, though, Kyle. I guess we don't have a full lock. I'm waiting. It takes a little while to lock sometimes. So those of you watching our Twitch feed, you got a special. No, the Zephyr was working. It was a problem with the mixer, for sure. I was seeing, well.
It makes no sense. I mean, everything else, I was giving it up. Well, who knows?
No, you're right. If it's a mixer, we wouldn't have gotten enough feed, right? All right, I'm hearing it now. You know, we don't know. It must have been a Zephyr problem, we think, because
you were tuned to
our
Premier
feed
Channel
continued.
7.
You know, the stream
Leo
continued.
Laporte, the tech guy. We'll begin.
I was looking at the Zephyr from and Premier, seeing Radio audio back from you, but I was not seeing my mic into the Zephyr. But the Zephyr is fed with the same channel as the stream is, right? And the stream was continued to work. They're separate outputs. Weird that one output would fail.
It's live wire, right? It's a live wire connection.
Yeah.
So you're tuned to Premier.
The live wire might have dropped. Yeah, maybe the live wire dropped. Maybe it was a separate live wire. It's just one live wire. All right. It's a mystery. I didn't know. I was talking to somebody on the phone. The phone disappeared. I thought we lost him. I said, Kyle, I don't know. Can you hear him? Nothing. So I just kept talking. Yeah. So we got the ESET. Turns out I was not hearing, so that's why I mean, and I when I looked down, I was seeing it on the Zephyr. It's got to be the mixer. It's weird. Kyle, you can hear me now, right?
Yeah, I got you. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Manny's still on four if you want to go back.
Yeah, we'll go back to Manny.
Cool.
Poor Manny. Because what happens, while he's talking, it dropped out. And I thought, oh, we lost Manny, so I answered him. I did a whole answer. And then you started. Then you called me. Fortunately, I had the phone on. Normally, the phone is off. I could still be going. I would have figured it out by now.
Yeah, so I just went to a backup. I pulled Manny down, went to a backup, and we got into the break.
Good.
You got your ESET read in.
Yeah, we got the add-in. That's all that really matters.
Make the advertising happy.
As long as you get the advertising. Ah, this is good. AppleCare is Plus. I forgot about AppleCare Plus. Yeah, so you get two replacements if you need them for $49 plus tax. Yeah, I actually bought AppleCare Plus after liquipelling. Thank you. I forgot about AppleCare Plus. Thank you for that. So that was good because I did a bad answer. They do cover accidental damage. But you have to pay for it ahead of time.
This is Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte.
Thank you, Hector. I bought it after I brought in my Liquipel. The genius said, do you want to get Plus? I said, you were so nice to me. Yes. Ah, you have to prove that your phone didn't break. No, I'm eating scrambled eggs left over from breakfast.
Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past.
I don't really intend to get my iPhone wet ever again. It wasn't something I wanted to do. It was a test. It was a test of Liquipel, which has since got venture funding. No, we were only on one station in Toronto briefly, or Ontario. And we're no longer on that station.
To Premier Channel 7, Leo Laporte.
Yeah, just get a little wet.
We'll begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Networks.
Yeah, the geniuses can look in not only the dock connector, they can look in the headphone port, and they can, there's a little red strip. Exactly.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past the hour.
You know, the Apple employee who helped me at the Apple store didn't say anything at first. You know, he looked at it and he took it back. He said, well, I think we could replace it. He took it back. And then, so then he brought it back. And then, so I had no idea. I thought, I didn't say, I'm Leo Laporte. This is what happened. I just said, I got it wet. And I didn't say it was an accident. I said, I got it wet. And he said, all right. And he looked, yeah, I got it wet. And then he said, well, we can replace this for a couple $100, which is not normal policy. And then he brought it back, and then he brought me the new phone. And then he looks at me and says, is this from the Liquipel thing? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I saw that. He was clever. Neither one of us was going to admit anything. He was a fan, so that was funny. That was very funny.
This is Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, will begin at 6 minutes past the hour from Premier Radio Network.
I don't know, SillyCon, what that is. I've never heard of that. Oh, I did. I wanted to. That was the whole point. I had it liquipelled, and then I dumped it in water. That was the whole point of it. We were testing Liquipel, and it failed, by the way.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Yeah, I don't know if they would. Yeah, Kevin Rose is on this. Who is on this? Kevin, Dvorak, and Schwood. Next time we'll play this. What?
Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte.
That was weird.
We'll begin at
6 minutes. Okay, Leo Laporte here, the tech guy, back live. We don't know what happened. You know, when you're the tech guy, you live on the bleeding edge. Sometimes people say to me, why is it that your show has more technical difficulties than any other radio show on the world? Well, because I am the tech guy and I live on the bleeding edge. If you only knew the baling wire, spit and string that holds this thing together, you would understand. So we don't even know what happened there. But I was in the middle of talking to Manny in São Paulo, Brazil, and I thought Manny got cut off because, you know, he's in Brazil. But no, Skype from Brazil works just fine. It was me. So, Manny, I apologize. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So are you on vacation in Brazil? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm just on a layover. I fly for the airlines, and we're down here quite a bit on a monthly basis. So
we have a lot of pilots listen to the show. I guess there's some downtime while you're flying, and podcasts are a good way to spend that time.
They're perfect.
That's great. Well, it's nice to know you. Can I ask you, as long as I got you, Manny, can I ask you a question about being a pilot?
Sure.
I won't ask you what airline or anything, but do you fly commercial? Do you fly passengers?
Passengers.
Yeah, and do you what kind of jets?
I'm on the 777.
Ooh, beautiful, real fly by wire thing. Now, I was told, and I want to just verify this: do you ever let the plane land itself? Remember, you're anonymous. We don't know what airline.
No, we do it all the time, and there's actually requirements that we have to do it within so many days just to have it certified.
Yeah. So these modern planes, the autopilot is so good, it can land itself.
Up to a certain point, the software on the airplane and the limitations that they test it for only allow it up to a certain headwind and crosswind component.
Yeah, of course.
We have to do it.
Yeah, if it's a scary landing, you want a human doing it. The reason I bring this up is we talk a lot about autonomous vehicles. You know, Google's now announced that its autonomous vehicles have driven 300,000 miles without accident. And people sometimes say, well, I don't want a car to drive itself. But in some cases, you know, the technology exists. Planes have been flying themselves for some time now, and they do a pretty good job.
A lot of the technology that comes from cars originally came from airplanes.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
See, like the anti-lock skid and all that stuff. Yeah. They've had it for decades.
It's not that we don't want. We want you guys in the front. I am not getting in a plane where there's nobody up front. I'm not crazy, but pilot assist. This is what you know. The cockpit of the 777 was designed by the guy who's now the CEO of Ford, Alan Mulally. He was an engineer at Boeing for many years. He did all the fly-by-wire stuff and really smart guy. And I asked him, I said, why isn't Ford doing autonomous vehicles? And he said, we learned a lot from aviation. What you really want to do is assist. You want a human, but you want to assist. You want to give them information. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. It'd spook people out if they knew that there's no one up front.
When I ride the monorail in Vegas and there's no driver, I know it's on a rail. Nothing can go wrong. It's just I like to have somebody there just in case. So anyway, enough, Manny. I didn't mean to give you the big question interview here, but I had a couple of questions. So what is your question, sir?
I have children, and they're going to be probably getting the new iPhone 5 when it comes out, and I wanted to find out if, you know, in your opinion, if we should get the AppleCare Plus or self-insure like you talk about, because we're locked into a two-year contract. So, you know, my daughter has already, she's 13, and her iPhone 4, she's already dropped one.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, it was the back of the glass that broke, and that was an inexpensive fix. But, from you know, if the front gets broken, then that's a whole different story.
Yeah, you know, iPhones are very fragile. They're more fragile than other phones, truthfully, because it's glass on front and back. But the glass is fairly easily replaced. My son is 18. My daughter is 20. Both of them have broken their iPhones. And Henry, pretty much I figure I've got about 3 months, and then he's going to break it. It gets broken in his pocket because he's wrestling with his buddies. He drops it. I make sure they have cases. Doesn't matter. A good case certainly helps, and if you get an OtterBox, but the problem is, the kids don't want the cases. And I understand it's a beautiful phone, but you're buying them a slippery glass object. So Apple does, as you point out, offer this, and they just started doing this fairly recently. AppleCare Plus. Now, you're right; it's self-insuring, right? All of this stuff is insurance, in effect. You're saying you're making a bet that it will cost them more than it will cost you. The way AppleCare Plus works, and by the way, you have to either get it when you buy the phone, or you'll have to bring the phone in and say, "See, it's okay right now," because they don't want anybody buying it after they break it. You can have up to two accidents a year, and then you'll pay $50 to get a new phone. Now, this is the calculation you have to do. It's about $100, maybe $100, depending on where you go, but there are plenty of third parties that will replace the glass for around $100. Apple will replace the entire phone usually for $200 if it's under AppleCare. So you've got to pay. I don't know what AppleCare Plus costs, actually. I should check, because that's part of the calculation. Do you know off the top of your head? It's $100. $100, yeah. So so you're going to pay $100, and then it'll be another $49 each time for each incident, up to two a year. Let's assume your kids are not going to break it more than twice a year.
Right.
It's right on the edge, isn't it? Because it's $100 to replace the glass. So if they drop it, over the two-year period of the phone, if they drop it twice, you're going to have spent $200 either way. If they drop it more than twice over 2 years, then AppleCare would be a deal.
Okay.
So, and of course, that's how insurance works. It's just like playing blackjack. It's 2% in their favor. That's all they need. So, you know, I would say, I'll tell you what I did. I didn't buy it the first time. And then remember, I dropped an iPhone in a glass of water to test this thing called Liquipel that was supposed to keep it from getting water damage. Well, of course, it stopped working. I had to pay $200. The Apple people were very nice. The Genius was nice. He let me get a new one for $200, which they don't have to, but he did. And then he said, "Do you want AppleCare Plus?" And I said, "Yes, please. Yes, sir. Please, sir." Now, that was a waste of money. That was $100 that because I'm not going to break that iPhone again. I doubt I'll drop it in water again anyway. And I'm pretty careful. I've never broken an iPhone. So it was probably a waste of $100. For kids, I'd probably do it, Manny.
Okay.
I'd probably do it. I hope I get to fly with you sometime. If you ever see me in the back, come say hi.
I definitely will.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the call. And thanks for giving us a little insight into what's going on up there in the cockpit. So I have such respect for pilots, man, the responsibility and what they do in that 777 is so exciting, so cool. And it's not unusual for me. It happened when I flew to Dubai a couple of years ago. I'm in the waiting area to get on the plane. The pilot comes up, says, "Hey, Leo, I'll be flying this plane. I listen to you all the time." It was really cool. It was on Emirates. It was really cool. It's Sao Paulo, Scotland. Spelled SAO, but that little Sadia on the A makes us, oh. São Paulo. My Portuguese is not so good. São Paulo. Carlos Chino. Is it Chino or Chico? Chino, California. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Carlos. So, where is it?
Hi, Leo.
Hey, Carlos. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Thank you. I was calling because I've been having problems for quite a while now with Safari, and
All right, let's help you out after the break. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Stay here. São Paulo, obrigado. Yeah, the Liquipel moment. You want to see it? The Liquipel moment. It is the hottest topic.
At CES is that they Liquipelled it.
Oh!
Did you hear that?
Let's see that again.
Somebody said that what they did at CES is that they Liquipelled it. Did you hear that?
Liz screamed.
The phone screamed.
Audible gasps.
They
well,
did it.
It's on.
It's on. They did it. Now they say don't turn it on. Whatever you do, and they say all the things that you would say if it were not liquipelled.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just take a chance, and there it is. That definitely shouldn't get wet.
Oh Lord! Oh Lordy, Lordy, Lordy! Oh. Hey, have I talked about stamps yet? No, I haven't. Let's talk about it real quick. I'm a big fan. I like to talk about stamps.com. This is one of our great sponsors for the podcast. You know, you probably see these ads now. This is podcast advertising, which is really great. It just shows you the support we get from our sponsors. I was very grateful. We've been doing this podcast it was my first podcast, the show was. So this is for 900 episodes since 2004. And without ads, because I just wanted to do it. But now we got some ads, so it actually finally pays for itself. And one of the companies that's been supportive, very supportive of all of our new shows, is Stamps.com. We're supportive of them, so it's not much of a surprise. What is Stamps.com? It's something that other people in other countries really wish they had. The idea is you don't have to go to the post office. You use your computer and your printer, and you print your own postage. I mean, that's pretty cool. Don't need a special ink. You don't need a postage meter. You just need stamps.com. It's like, you know, when's the last time you went into a bank? Just technology makes things easier. You get exact postage for any letter or package whenever you need it because you've got that great, somebody stole my scale again, that great stamps.com USB scale. And the postman or the mailman, the postal carrier comes and gets it. You can schedule pickups anytime you want. They have lots of nice features. If you're an eBay or Amazon seller, it takes the data right out of the data right out of the web page, and so it prints out the form. Same thing with international mail. You don't have to, no more handwriting. I just love it. I want you to try it. We've got a no-risk trial offer. If you go to stamps.com, I should do that, you'll see right on the front page an $80 special offer. But don't fall for that. As good as that sounds, I got a better one. It is not tramps.com. It's stamps.com. Here it is, stamps.com. See the $80 offer? No, don't fall for that. Here we go. Don't fall for that. Click the radio microphone. Type in the offer code, which is TechGuy, T-E-C-H space G-U-Y. And it turns into magic, $110 bonus offer. You'll see my face. If you don't see my face, don't do it. That's $55 of postage coupons. You get the digital scale. You just pay shipping and handling for that, about $5. You also get a $5 supply kit to defray that cost and a 4-week trial of stamps.com. Promo code is TechGuy. Look, what do you got to lose? Try it. And you get to keep the scale even if you don't keep it around. Yeah, don't go to tramps.com. Stamps.com. Stamps.com. Postage on demand. This is the modern time. We thank them again. We thank them so much for their support of the Tech Guy podcasts. It's actually, frankly, that support that allows us to do the new website, to hire Josh, all of that stuff. Until we had revenue on the podcast and had the webpage, we just, you know. So, it, you know, I plow this stuff right back into the show, believe me.
in the bag.
If you ever get your phone wet, do not lie. I can tell you that right now. Apple's probably copyrighted this, too. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a lawsuit over this. I think there was. I think somebody claims this. In most phones nowadays, there is a little paper strip that will turn color when the phone gets wet. So I just pulled the battery out of my Samsung Galaxy S3, and it's right there above. There's a little paper strip right above the power connector. That when that gets wet, it turns color. And why do they do that? Because so many people bring their phones in to the store and say, I don't know, it just stopped working. I can't figure it out. I think I need a new one. I think it's broke. Don't. They know. They just open it up and they say, yeah, it's broke. You dropped it in the toilet, didn't you? I was, oh, my goodness. I was talking to a friend on Thursday, and she says, I got a new iPhone. I said, oh, that's nice. What happened to the old one? She said, I flushed it. I said, what? You dropped it in the toilet? And she said, not only did I drop it in the toilet, I flushed it. And not only did I have to get a new iPhone, I had to get a new toilet. Do not, if you flush your iPhone or your any phone nowadays, they have that paper strip in there. The iPhone, they don't even have to open it up. They can't, right? Because there's no user serviceable parts inside. When I brought my wet iPhone into the Apple store, the Apple Genius takes a little pen light and shines it into the earphone jack, or I think they can do it also in the 30-pin connector. He says, yep, you got it wet. So be honest. Be honest. Yep, you got it wet. And in my case, now remember, I got it wet on purpose. I was testing a product that supposedly protected your phone from water damage, didn't. It was a serious test. I dropped it in a glass of water, let it sit, took it out. Worked for a little bit. Turns out when I brought it in, I brought it into a third-party repair place at first. They take the whole thing apart. They dry it out. They scrub it. They clean the connections. He said, you fried everything in here. He says, look at the SIM card. Even the SIM card was scorched because of the short circuit. That's one negative about the iPhone is you can't pop the battery. You're still applying power no matter what. If you have a device that you can pop the battery, so much better. If you drop it in water, immediately, just as quick as you can, open it up, pop the battery, because now you've removed power from it, and you're much less likely to have a short circuit. At that point, you can let it dry and be very patient. I don't mean 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day. I mean a week. Some people put it in a container with rice, because the rice kind of sucks the moisture out. Do not microwave it, obviously. Let it dry, let it dry naturally, but I wouldn't try turning it on until it was bone dry. Then you can put the battery back in. You just can't do that with an iPhone because you can't pop the battery. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. We were talking to Carlos in California. Hey, Carlos. You said you're having problems with Safari and your other websites. What's going on?
No, not Safari. I was having problems with Internet Explorer and Firefox.
Firefox and IE on Windows. Okay.
Yeah, the problem I have is it only happens when I'm on eBay.
Yeah.
I go on eBay. Everything's fine. I start browsing for whatever product I'm looking for, and all of a sudden, this happens maybe 80% of the time. After a little while, everything is Chinese characters. It's eBay in Chinese.
That's not so useful, is it?
No, and at the end it says the country code. I think it's CN or something.
Ah, so it's actually changing it from eBay.com to eBay.cn.
Yeah.
And, let me look at eBay.cn. Oh, yeah, that's the real eBay, right?
Yeah, it's the real eBay, but it's in Chinese.
Yeah, it's not very readable. So eBay is probably, Google does this too. If you go to China, I know because I went to China, and all of a sudden you go to Google.com, and it changes to Google.cn. Because it's looking at your address and saying, you're in China.
Well, but that was part of it. I thought that the reason it was doing that is because when it asks you for your zip code, and I noticed that whenever I put in the zip code, it would change it right away. But I stopped doing that. I just X out of that one.
Right.
But it's still doing it now.
Well, a couple of things I would try. You're in Chino, you said? Maybe.
I'm in Chino right now, but I don't live in Chino.
Oh, okay.
I live
Because I was wondering, maybe eBay misreads Chino as China. Wouldn't that be funny?
Well, it would be, but I put in the zip code.
Yeah, I mean, China doesn't have zip codes, so it immediately pinpoints you in the United States. I would guess it's a cookie problem. First thing I would do is go into your browser and clear cookies.
I've done that.
And it still doesn't get better.
No. I've even gone into the part where you change the languages.
I wonder. Well, it's deciding you're in China. It's not a language setting. It's because you're getting .cn. It's decided that you're in China. And so if you've cleared the cookies, I'm very puzzled that it would think you're in China. I'm not sure why it's doing that.
But in the beginning, when I get on it, I'm able to turn a few pages when I'm browsing, and then all of a sudden it just goes there.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a little while, but then it decides. That's why I thought it'd be kind of funny if there was something wrong in its parser and it says, oh, there's the IP address. Where's that IP address? Chino. Uh-oh, he's in China now.
Yeah.
Well, who's your internet service provider?
Verizon.
You know, sometimes this has happened to me with on cell phones is the cell phone will think I'm in Los Angeles because the Wi-Fi I'm getting, like on an airplane, like go internet on a Virgin America flight, it comes out of L.A. So it pinpoints you no matter where you are as being in L.A. But you're using a Verizon ISP.
Yeah.
Boy, that's weird. I would try. There is a reset option on Internet Explorer. If you go to Internet Options, you can reset everything. And I would just try that just to see. You'll lose all your cookies. You know, you have to re-enter passwords and all that stuff. But
I've done that. I've also...
You've done that?
Yeah, I uninstalled the Firefox and reinstalled it.
Boy, you've done everything I could think of. So look, now we know it's not the browsers. If you use a different computer in your house on the same connection, does it ever happen? You can't tell. See, I'd be very interested if somebody brought over a laptop and tried it and the same thing happened. Then I would guess it's an eBay issue. My only other thing, and I hate to say it, but it could be a little concerning, is malware on there.
That's impossible. I have not 32.
Okay. Boy, it's... and it's weird that it's happening to both Firefox and Internet Explorer. You wouldn't expect that. They have their own separate cookies, their own separate everything.
The only way I can go back is, right after this happens, I exit out, and I restart the browser, and right when I do that, it gives me another error. It gives me error 403, and it says forbidden.
Yeah, I'm a little worried that you might have something on there. Boy, I don't know.
I ran the antivirus and the malware.
Yeah.
Millions of times.
And you've never seen any? Okay, all right. Well, I don't know. I'm puzzled. I'll ask the chat. Maybe we can come up with an answer. Keep listening, okay? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The 403 is what worries me. The 403 is getting when he first launches the browser is what worries me most. Could be regional settings. Could be a bad DNS. It's a great mystery. I don't know. I'm gonna believe that he's on the real eBay China. No, I don't think Netalizer's gonna do it. It's too complicated taking donations per show donations, and it's such a small amount of money. So few people donate that. It's not going to save a show by any means. It's just a way of voting. I mean, I could do a straw poll and get as much information. More, probably. Yeah, no, a 403 is forbidden. When he gets a 403 as after he launches, what that indicates to me is he almost certainly has malware. Because one of the things malware does is it changes your homepage, right? So his homepage was changed to point to a bad site. Well, it was originally a malware site, which is down. So that's why he's getting a 403 when he starts. So I don't think it's his DNS. Could be his host, but it's much more likely that he's just got malware on there. The problem is it happens to Firefox and IE, so if it was a BHO, it would not affect both browsers. That's a good one. IP2 location, that's cool. I like that. Oh, you have to pay for it? Oh, no, it's free. No, it's not free. Or is it free? I'm confused. Huh. So it says you're in the United States, California, Santa Rosa, SonicNet, time zone, net speed, blah, blah, blah. Huh. That's pretty cool. I don't think he has a rootkit. I think he has a browser, some sort of browser helper. If you installed a toolbar, you know, ESET is good, but it's not going to stop you from doing something like installing a toolbar. If you specifically say, I'm going to install a toolbar, it's not going to stop you from doing that. The lengths of the downloads for the tech guy vary because we cut out stuff where I'm not talking. But we leave in stuff where I am. Like this part here, this is not part of the show, but we're leaving it in now. I didn't realize this, but somebody had decided without my knowledge to cut out everything that wasn't in the show for some time. That was not how I originally did it, and it was not my intent. My intent is if there's some content that's in between actual radio show segments, we leave it in. So that's why the length will always be different. Still puzzling. Really puzzling over our caller from Chino, who looked like he was coming from China. He'd be surfing along on eBay, and all of a sudden it would change to Chinese. eBay would decide, oh, no, you must be in China now. I should have asked him, and I didn't. I wonder if it happens any other site. Like, if you go to Google, do you sometimes get google.cn? I would guess he didn't say so. I would guess not. And he's driving crazy because he's done it with Internet Explorer. He's doing it with Firefox. The one thing he said that worried me is that sometimes he'll launch Internet Explorer and he'll get a 403 forbidden error right up top. What that often is a symptom of is something bad got on your machine. Maybe you installed a toolbar. I know he says, well, I got a good antivirus. It's got Nod32. Yeah, but if you say to Nod32, look, I want to install this, it's not going to stop you. Unless it's outright malware. But if it's just a browser toolbar, it may let you do it. And the toolbar might be what's causing the problem. For instance, bad stuff often hijacks your homepage, right? The first page you see when you launch the browser. It sends you to a page where it can make some money, you know, get some free clicks on PokerStars.com or whatever, and they get $1.50, and they're happy. So I'd look at, I'd try to kind of dig through your browser settings. Look in your homepage. Is that the same as it used to be? Make sure it is. The 403 means the browser's trying to go to a page that is blocked, that is gone, that is forbidden. And it's not a 404 page not found. 403 means forbidden. The site's been pulled down or something. And so I'm wondering, or you're trying to access a page that doesn't exist, for instance. So I'm wondering if that is a symptom that something bad is on your system. Change your homepage. The bad guy's site that they changed it to is gone, and now you're getting this error every once in a while. A couple of interesting things the chat room's come up with. I like this one. It's a website called ip2location.com, ip2location.com. And it's a, you know, it's a commercial product. But if you go there on your browser, it'll tell you where you're, where it thinks you're coming from, city, state, and et cetera. If it doesn't, if it says China, well, then you, now we know Verizon's got some weird thing going on or something. I don't know. I truthfully don't know how that could happen. But make sure that you're, that this is kind of a cool thing to have, IP to location. It'll say what your IP address is. That's your unique one and only internet address. But also say, based on your internet service provider, where that's coming from. But I don't know if that's it. It just, there's something feels wrong, but I can't quite place my finger on it. It could also be something's wrong with eBay. The reason I get very nervous about China is because that's where a lot of hacking comes from. So it makes me very nervous that you're getting, eBay's reporting you're coming from China. I would really try to track this down before I would, for instance, enter in a credit card number or do anything that you would like to keep private. He's reset his Internet Explorer, so we know it's not a proxy bill. I'm talking to the chat room. Says they're chat room's coming up with all of their stuff. eBay does have a regional preference, make sure that's not been changed. That's why I suggested you clear all your eBay cookies. He did do that. It's not. Something's wrong. Makes me nervous. So there's a link in the chat room to a thread where these exact symptoms are happening from answersetter.ebay.com. Sites search is redirecting to eBay China. This is interesting. We'll put this in the show notes at techguylabs.com. You can at least refer to it because this sounds like maybe what's going on. No matter what the guy says, what type of search I try to do, no matter, I land on a page from ebay.cn. Everything goes to China. So eBay's response is clear your cache. We said that. Delete temporary internet files. We said that. Reboot your computer. We didn't say that, but I presume he's done that a few times. If that doesn't fix it, there's an eBay page where you can change your country. Make sure your country's not set to China. They also say another possibility, delete your cookies, reboot your computer again. Also run a virus check. And actually, that's what I would say, but he says he's done that. Now, the guy came back. He said, well, my country's U.S. I tossed my cookies, so to speak. All searches still go to China. And now he's getting a 403 forbidden. And other people are saying, yeah, this happens to me too. There is some concern that maybe there's some malware on there that we don't have an answer on this. This person's, by the way, going through Verizon as well. Isn't that interesting? No good answer on here. Same exact problem. I'll put a link in the chat notes or the website, techguylabs.com, for you. And at least you can see that other people are having something similar. Something's wrong. I would try a rootkit remover to make sure there's no hidden stuff on there. Although Nod32 does detect rootkits, but that just makes me nervous. It's going to China. Tracy's in San Diego. Our next caller. Hi, Tracy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Tracy.
Hi.
Hi.
I have two questions for you.
Okay.
One, my daughter is moving to off-site housing to go to SDSU.
Yay! Her first year?
I know. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I could tell you the hardest thing I have done is drop my daughter off at college for the first time. Oh.
I'm fortunate that she's...
She's nearby.
We live in San Diego,
yeah.
So she's nearby,
that's
but
good.
Still...
It's exciting and it's hard. Everything's going right.
That's
how it's supposed to be.
That's what I'm told.
It's still hard.
Yes. So she's moving into off-site housing, and it includes internet.
Good.
But I don't know if that's secured or unsecured.
It's probably not. And even if it's secured, everybody else in the house is also on that network.
Okay,
so treat it as an insecure. Yeah, she should treat it as an insecure network. And by the way, this is true anytime you're on a Wi-Fi, open Wi-Fi, or you're at a hotel, anytime you're on a network that's shared. She would have the same problem if she were in the college dorms. Now, the difference is colleges usually pay a lot of attention to security. Not always, but often pay a lot of attention to security. Depends on how crazy about this she wants to be. She could use a VPN service to protect herself, which she, in other words, there's one called Private Tunnel, for instance, that lets her, in effect, have an encrypted tunnel to their servers for her surfing. That would mean anybody in the shared housing would be unable to see what she's doing completely. So, but
okay.
It depends. But you have to pay for this, and it really depends on how. It's not hugely expensive. You pay for the data you use, but it really depends on how paranoid you want to be. If she's remember, she's secure when she's banking. She's secure when she's buying stuff on Amazon. Anywhere she's on an HTTPS connection, she's secure. It's only if people don't want to. You know, she doesn't want people to see what site she's going to. Things like that.
Okay, so in terms of social media, such as Facebook and whatnot.
Well, for Google and Facebook, both now support HTTPS, so she should turn that on. Absolutely. Hold on, Tracy. I want to talk more about this. It's a good topic. Hang in there. We got to take a break. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Even if password protected, let's say this is a communal housing. There's 10 students.
If you're running a
and
small business,
it's a WPA2 network. Everybody else is also on that network. So that anybody who can use that, anyone with the password of the network, is on her network. So even if it's secured, open, it's secured access, it's still insecure because everybody is on. You're sharing a network.
But that's just half the story. You see, Epson also knows you got to run a tight ship these days in business, so the Workforce Pro is budget-friendly, too. Start with the Inc.
No, she says it's off-campus. I don't know if it's college or not in college.
Inc. isn't the only place you can save. Since the Workforce Pro zips out two-sided prints, you can also cut back on paper costs up to 50%, right? That's a good deal from other
nations. That's so weird. You think it's malware?
Trees. And I gotta say, documents.
Apparently, this eBay problem is common.
So put your small business in overdrive with the Cheetah Fast Epson Workforce Pro, and right now save 10% on the Workforce Pro at Epson.com. Use a promo code LEO10. That's LEO10. Epson, built to perform. In IT, it's challenging enough when your team is working from the same office. Even more so if you have to support.
She said off-campus housing. So I don't know if that means private off-campus housing or
Citrix, you could take control of your entire IT.
It's under the university's policy.
One simple cloud-based platform.
Yeah, I'd worry more about getting his laptop stolen for sure. So we'll go through all of that.
While keeping all of your users supported, no matter where they are, you can provide live or unattended support anywhere, even from your iPad. And with GoToAssist monitoring, you get customizable dashboards displaying the performance of all your networks, all your servers, all your desktops, plus proactive alerting, which allows you to fix those little issues before they become big problems.
One thing I'm not going to ever, you're never going to hear me do on the radio show is say, okay, I want you to go to your host's file.
We use it here. I want you to try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToAssist.
There's some things we're just not going to do on the radio show, and one of them is not explain what a host file is, how to get there, and how to look at it.
Use the promo.
Remember, we're talking to essentially to a normal audience. So a lot of times what you would say, the answer that you would say, which would be the right answer, is too technical for me to give out on the air. Yeah, occasionally I'll say you need to do a registry edit, but it's very rare. I just really don't. I don't want to open that can of worms. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. Tracy's daughter's going to college. How exciting. She's going to be living in off-campus housing. Now, is it owned by the university or is it private off-campus housing?
It's private off campus.
See, if it's owned by the university will have all sorts of rules and regulations. You want to always adhere to those. But off-campus housing, you know, chances are just as good the landlord put up a a Linksys router and said, have at it. So there may not be much security at all. Somebody pointed out in the chat room, the very first thing is you should probably make sure is that the laptop doesn't get stolen. So you can get a little Kensington lock for those things. It makes it a little bit more difficult to walk off with. That's always a good idea. They're just little, it looks like a little cable bicycle lock that attaches to the laptop. Is it a laptop she's going to bring with her?
It is.
Yeah.
It's a MacBook.
I'm saying again?
A MacBook Pro.
Oh, how nice. You equipped her well. Put my daughter, when she went to college 2 years ago for the first time, I put Carbonite on there as well because she doesn't have to think about it. It's automatically backing up. That's a good idea.
Good idea.
Yeah, you don't want the call saying, I can't figure out what happened. I erased my term paper.
Okay.
So that's why Carbonite was invented. Carbonite was invented by a father whose daughter went away to college, and he's a startup guy. You know. And his daughter said, I lost my term paper. And she said, I don't have a good solution for you. So he invented it, Carbonite. So that's one thing. A lock for the laptop's not a bad idea. You know, because she's not going to, she'll leave it there. She's not going to always have it with her.
Right.
And it's that way at colleges, there's a pretty brisk business in stolen laptops. That's why backup's a good idea. And then finally, If on Facebook and on Google both, it uses HTTPS. She'll have to turn it on in her Facebook security settings, and I would do that because you just don't want anybody. What you're most afraid of is somebody stealing your password and impersonating you on Facebook. It's kind of a pain.
Okay.
So that's I would worry about that. I mean, it's not the end of the world or anything, but I would be aware of that. So in the security settings of her account, there's a secure browsing entry. Make sure that's turned on. Browse Facebook on a secure connection when possible. That will mean nobody can see what she's doing, even if they're on the same network.
Okay. All right. Good. Good.
Yeah. Thanks. Twitter is pretty public. There's nothing much you can do about that. You could use it. You could use a VPN, but I think that's overkill. Unless she's really, you know, doesn't want anybody to know where she's going. What she should understand is that when she's on that Wi-Fi access spot, and you should understand that too. When you're at a hotel using their Ethernet, when you're at a coffee shop, whenever you're on any kind of shared network, everybody in the network can see unencrypted stuff that you're doing. It's all public, unless it's encrypted, and encrypted is HTTPS. The S stands for secure. And when that's on, then it's private. It's just between you and Facebook or you and Google or you and your bank or you and Amazon. Now, if she doesn't care about whether, you know, she's doing research and going to geology Wikipedia pages, she doesn't care if people see that, then I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's so great that you're asking this. I think that 90% of people using these open networks, they're not even thinking about it. I have a friend who is, no. I have a friend who's a hacker. And we used to go on cruises, on geek cruises together. And he made a habit. I said, Randall, you got to stop doing this. He would make a habit at the beginning of the cruise of going around to people with a piece of little, give them a little slip of paper, said, is this your password? And then he did it to me. I said, yes, that's my password. Where'd you get it? He said, well, you're on the cruise ship's open Wi-Fi, and you're sending your password in the clear, and I can see it. So you might want to think about that. I said, Randall, you've got to stop doing that. That's scaring people. Is this your password? The worst one to give up. And what does she use for email? Do you know?
I believe Yahoo.
Okay. So the scariest thing, the thing you don't ever want to give up, is your email password. And if you're so whenever you're using email, it should be HTTPS. Because if you're – and this was the problem, is my email is being sent in the clear – and that meant that, you know, he was seeing my email password. Now, if somebody gets your email password, you're really in trouble because, you know, they can get other accounts. All sorts of stuff can happen. So I always am very cautious about that. I can't remember. Chat room, do you know, does Yahoo support I don't think Yahoo supports HTTPS. I'm not sure. She might want to look at getting a Gmail account. Gmail is secure. That's the Google free. It's also free. Google email.
Good to know.
So, yeah, let her know that. It'd be good if she changed it to Gmail. She can keep having that Yahoo account, but don't use it for anything important.
Got it. And do Nooks need security software?
No.
Okay.
So she's going to bring a Nook ebook reader along with her.
Actually, I have a Nook, and I also use it for...
Oh, for yourself? Yeah.
For online, yes. And I wasn't sure if that... It's a good idea to have security software.
It's more secure because it's not... Well, are you using Wi-Fi with a Nook, or are you using the built-in 3G?
Wi-Fi.
Oh, well, Wi-Fi, it's the same issue.
Okay.
When you're on Wi-Fi, you're broadcasting. So anything that is not scrambled can be seen by anybody who's within proximity.
So then the ESET would... Does that cover Nooks as well?
No. No, if that's okay. If you're worried about viruses, I don't think there are any attacks on the Nooks. You're safe there. It's more the privacy issue.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, you don't need an you're right. You don't need an antivirus on the Nook.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
What's your daughter going to study? Does she know yet?
No.
Of course not. She shouldn't know. She's a freshman.
Yes, that's what I keep telling her.
Okay. It's quite all right.
Need to know it.
My daughter called. She said, I can't decide, Daddy, between Arabic poetry and molecular biology. And I said, well, so these are her three favorite classes. I said, I don't know. You don't have to pick one yet.
No, and I'm glad. Because it will change, I would think. You know,
of
once
course.
She gets in a year or two.
Right.
And
right. Her job is to find what she loves, and you don't know. At some colleges, it really depresses me. Actually, ask you to declare a major before you enter, as you're on your application, and I think that's ridiculous.
Yes, few kids who actually are driven that way and know what they want to do and stay in that major. I don't see that often at all.
No, I was a Chinese major. A lot of good that did me. Then I found the college radio station as a junior, and that changed my life. I didn't even graduate, actually, but that's another story. I don't want to tell you that. I don't want to depress you. Tracy, it's great to talk to you. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's exciting.
All right.
That's really great. Yeah, don't let her near the campus radio station, whatever you do. Stay away from that. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's my number, 888-827-5536. It's really a good question. That I think people probably don't spend enough time thinking about is, if I'm on a network, can other people on the network see what I'm doing? Generally, yes. If I'm on a Wi-Fi network, can anybody who can receive the Wi-Fi transmission see what I'm doing? Depends on how well secured the network is. So it's certainly be something to be aware of. I think, you know, most of the time you've got, the important stuff is always HTTPS. That stands for secure HTTP. That's a secure transport. That's safe. That's really secure. So when you talk to the bank, it should say that. When you talk to Amazon, when you're buying stuff online, it should say that. Now, it's a little confusing. I'm sorry about this. This is just the way it is. When you go to Amazon.com, for instance, and you're supposed to enter your password, it doesn't say HTTPS. It says HTTP. And I admit that's confusing. It's still safe because the transmission of the password is encrypted. It's just the whole page is not, just the password. And once you're in a session, it should be that way all the time. This is the problem. It's very hard for a normal person to know what's going on. iDoc Mark in Syracuse, New York. Mark, great to talk to you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
How are you today?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. A slight diversion. I don't know if the picture got to you. I was driving down the street and I saw we have Tractor Supply here.
Yes.
Also.
Yes. They're all over. Hey, Mark. Yeah. Dang it. It always happens. We're out of time. Hang on. We're going to get you first right out of the top of the hour break. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Now, I've been using this laptop for 8 years now. 8 years. And now it decides, after 8 years of use, running only one
Whether
program.
You're running a business,
the same program.
Home, selling items
always,
online,
always,
sites,
always.
To the post office to send out.
Now it decides that virtual memory is too low. 8 years I've been using your laptop. I've been doing one thing, running a VPN and this software for 8 years, the same settings, and now you decide virtual memory is too low. The heck is going on? Windows is increasing the size of your paging file. During this process, memory requests for some applications may be denied. How is a normal, what is a normal person supposed to do with that information? For more information, see help. Oh, yeah, I bet help. Oh, let's see. I bet help has a lot of information. Let's just see if I click see help. There's no, it's not even a clickable link. Oh, yeah, see help. That's like saying, go to window 5. Maybe they'll know.
Hold on a second, we'll transfer you.
Yeah, we'll transfer you. See help. It doesn't even tell you what to, oh, it must be done. I guess I have a new paging file. And, of course, yeah, help won't open because virtual memory is so low, probably, right? This laptop, this is an XP laptop, a compact TC4200 that I have had. It's a convertible, just to show you, just to let you know that tablets have been around for a long-ass time. Microsoft's been pushing these, uh-oh, what'd I do? Uh-oh. Microsoft's been pushing these things for ages. Look at this. This is cool. It's, wait a minute. No, there it is. It's got a stylus. Oh. Now how much would you pay? So you can hold it like this. This is from, this came out in 2004. I don't know why my program went away. Snapshot failed. Oh. I don't know what's going on. There's only, I never run anything on here except for that VPN. For 8 years I've been running that VPN. Because I can only use, this VPN has to work on Windows. It's a Cisco, some sort of Cisco product that doesn't work well in Mac. I think they have a Mac version. I never was able to get it to work. And once I got it working on this, it's just like, I didn't say, I said, okay, don't touch it. This is a dedicated computer. All it ever does is that. It was so difficult to get working. We, you know, I just messed it like crazy. Well, and the software is ancient. I mean, it, the reason it... Oh, now it's good. I've got an hourglass. I'm dead. I have 6 minutes to fix this. It does update. I do update it regularly. Yeah, I should uninstall everything. It's probably running out of hard drive space. Good thinking. I will uninstall all the other crap. There's offices on here for some reason. I don't know why. I haven't looked at the hard drive on this thing in years. I have no idea what's on here. Nothing's happening. That's not a good sign. This is an enterprise PC. Okay. Add remove programs. Defrag it. There's no reason to defrag it. It's never had a chance to get fragged.
You're tuned to Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
So slow, but it's fine for what I use it for. From Premier Radio, what version of XP? I would presume Service Pack 2. Let me look. It does. I should take this system snapshot thing off. That's some HP crap. Service Pack 3? Really? Well, let's see. I'm sure it's Service Pack 3.
This is Premier Channel 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 6 minutes past the hour.
I can't install CentOS. It has to be XP. All right. This is Service Pack 3. Windows XP Tablet PC Edition 2005. I'm going to take this snapshot crap off. Options. Never ever again take a snapshot. I reboot it every week. I'm not dumb. Performance, system restore, turn off system restore, it's turned off. Automatic updates. Automatically download recommended updates. Here it is. Altiris Recovery Agent. How do I turn this thing off? Snapshot schedule. Enable schedule snapshots. No, let's not. How about that? Let's delete some storage locations. Let's recovery agent space management. I don't want any snapshots. Apply. Someday this will die, and it will be a very big, very black day. They're using software that's even older. Altiris partition. So that's its own partition, so I don't care about that. It's only 22,000 megabytes. I am going to remove Office. I have no idea why Office is on here. Oh, the closing ceremony has begun, huh? NBC decided to stream it. Good for them. Was that their original plan, or was that because of all the complaints? Oh, I better get my VPN working again. I wish you could see this screen. It's so funky. Call screener software. First of all, it's ancient and it's slow. There it is. From version 2.0 TI of 2002, registered to Clear Channel Worldwide. This is called Condren, the call screener for Windows. That's why I can't use a Mac. Well, it looks like it's working. So that's all I ever do is run this thing. Can I not? What? I'm not touching the virtual memory. Are you kidding? What are you, crazy? No, you don't understand. This thing has to work. I'm not touching it. I really should image this drive. Maybe after this show, I'll image the drive. Because if it ever dies, I'm dead. But I don't. So if the drive died, I don't know what we'd do anyway. I doubt we could pull the drive out of here. I don't even know. Maybe we can. Yeah, I guess we can. Where would we get a 10-year-old hard drive? That's it. Radio Mag Online. It's working fine. I was just messing with it. That's it. Condren call screener.
Hey, Leo.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. You're all set. I just walked back in though, and
everything's fine. I'm just messing around.
Okay, perfect. Just a quick reminder: we have a Carbonite ad
right.
to make up.
Right. Deanna, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number if you want to call in with a question, a comment, a suggestion. 888-827-5533. 36, that's the number. If you have a question, a comment, or a suggestion, I'd love to hear from you. This is I'll tell you a little behind the scenes stuff. We were messing around, the chat room and I were messing around during the break. And I was showing them the software I use. We were talking about VPNs earlier. Virtual private networks. This is a way of businesses use this all the time so that you can log into the business network securely and privately as if you're at work. And so this is a very common thing. And I use a VPN during the radio show. I don't know if you know this. It's kind of behind the scenes, but I'm in a studio in Northern California, and Kyle and Gina are in a studio in Southern California, and we're connected magically via VPN. So as Gina takes the calls and writes down the call information, she enters it in Southern California, and I am connected to the studio via VPN on a very old computer. This we're using software that's nearly as old for call screening. And it works great. It's worked great for 900 episodes. So what could possibly go wrong, right? This computer is an old HP convertible touchpad. Vintage, I think it's probably 2004. 8 years old. It's running XP. The software it's running on is even older. It's a call screening software that's copyright 2002. But you know, it works. But I just was thinking, because it came up with an error message I haven't ever seen. It said, I have to expand virtual memory. I thought, really? After 8 years now, you want to expand virtual memory, huh? All right. Haven't done anything but run this software on it for 8 years, but okay. And I was just, I thought, you know, I probably should back this thing up. Because if anything were to go wrong, I have no idea how to get it working again on a modern machine. I think this is not an unusual case in business, right? You have, it's all working. Don't mess with it. That's why XP is still probably predominant in the business. And a lot of businesses are looking at Windows 8 saying, well, I'm not going to mess with that. Maybe it's time to upgrade XP to Windows 7, but not Windows 8. I ain't putting Windows 8 or 7 on this thing. This is going to stay exactly the same. In theory, as long as the computer's working, the moving parts will wear out, I guess, over time. But for the most part, if you don't want to do anything that new on it, it's fine. This is as fast as it ever was because it's doing exactly the same thing it did in 2004. But I probably should back it up. I wouldn't have the faintest idea where to get this software, how to set up this VPN. And we did this 8 years ago. I have no idea what I did. But it's been an old reliable. Love this old HP. This old HP's been running the show since 2004. 900 episodes. You, my friend, are the oldest thing in this room after me. We were talking to iDoc Mark. Hey, iDoc Mark.
How are you, Leo?
Sorry I had to put you on hold. What's going on?
Hold is fine. Well, I'm looking for a replacement. Mobile Me Gallery. I have folder after folder after folder where I would throw a whole bunch of pictures up. For example, my daughter's bat mitzvah. And I could send one link. I could send an email link.
Wasn't that nice? And then you would share those photos. It was password protected and only your family members could see it. And how nice.
Now, I want to send out a link to all these photos I took of the house that we rent out near Syracuse University, where we used to live, because I made the mistake of renting the Five Guys on the lacrosse team, and they did lots of damage.
Okay, just a tip. Never rent your house to five college-age guys who have sticks.
Yes. Oh. So I want to show them why they're not getting security deposits.
Yeah, I got a few pictures I'd like to show you. See that hole in the wall?
Yep. Glass window they smashed.
Oh.
When I go to Dropbox, I know how to do that, but I only know how to link picture by picture by picture. I tried dropping a whole folder of photos into public part of Dropbox, but it looks like they have to have my password to see it.
Right.
Is there another site that works as easily?
You know, iDisk and the old public folder on iDisk was such a great thing, and Apple killed it. They killed galleries and Mobile Me. They killed Mobile Me. And I was really, we've known this was going to happen for a year, and I really was speculating they will come up with a fix. They will come up with an alternative because they couldn't possibly just kill something that people rely on and not replace it, and they didn't.
They gave us warnings so we could download everything to a computer. I didn't lose pictures, but I'm looking for another program, another place to store where I don't have to individually label each picture, which is already labeled, where I can put one link to the folder.
Now, the negative on Dropbox that I really dislike about it is that they have to have a Dropbox account. But Dropbox does let you say, I want to share this folder.
Correct.
So you could share an entire folder in Dropbox.
But it looks
Like they have to have it. But when I do that and then I try to pick it up on another one of my computers, it makes me sign into Dropbox.
Yeah. So it's, that's the negative. They have to sign in as well. I think that's a real failing of Dropbox. Is that in a lot of this is basically Dropbox doesn't have to do it this way. They do it this way because they get new members.
But I also don't want them to be able to modify them or touch them just to see them.
Yeah.
And I know how to do that on a picture by picture basis.
Well,
with
Dropbox. I'm going to tell you about our sponsor. You could try it free for 30 days. ShareFile will do all of what you want to do.
I'll do that.
I love ShareFile. You probably won't want to keep it. It's for business. You know, I don't know if in your business you share files with people. But at least the 30-day trial will get you the stuff for the lacrosse guys.
Yeah.
What's nice about this is you can share an entire folder. Only they have access to it. You can say they can look at it, but only for a week, a month, whatever. There's a lot of nice feet. This is designed, to do exactly. And they don't have to have a ShareFile account. They get a link.
And it's secure because
you
say,
yeah, it's secure. Yeah, I really like ShareFile. The negative is it's pricey. It's certainly not something that you would want to have around all the time. Not like Dropbox, which is free for 5 gigabytes.
And cloud won't do what MobileMe did that way, will it?
iCloud. No, iCloud has not replaced MobileMe in that respect. Another one that chat room is saying Picasa web albums are good.
Really?
I am a big fan of Picasa if you're doing photo management.
Okay.
Now, same thing. Google gives you 7 gigabytes free, but if you want more than that, you have to pay for it. It's pretty cheap. They're telling me that you can. I didn't think you could do this, that you can share a link from Dropbox and they don't have to have a Dropbox account to see it.
Well, they don't for individual pictures or individual music, but I've only known it as file by file, not folder by folder.
Okay.
So when I put the folder under public and said,
if you
share.
put it in the photo folders, you know, there's now a new photo folder there, so that may be the key. Is you have to tell.
It's in public.
Well, then it's public.
It's
yeah.
If you're going to share the link, I believe.
Okay.
I'll play with it.
Play with
Can
it.
Can I give you another quickie question?
Sure.
My daughter's about to emulate yours. On the 1st of September, she goes to Germany for 11th grade.
Oh, that's so great.
And she's got a MacBook Pro, and she's got an iPhone, which she can't use there. It's a 4. It won't work in Germany, except as an she can use it only in Wi-Fi.
Right.
But the sponsor from the Rotary Club, which is a wonderful group, they're sending her.
Rotary's great for this, yeah.
An iPad or a Nook. You've got to have something so you can be reading books on the plane and having books to read when you're there.
Right.
Now she's screaming for another device. And do we want to get her an iPad or do we want to get her a Nook? Or
I wouldn't get her a Nook. I would get the cheap $79 Kindle, which is awesome. If it's just for reading, I highly recommend it. Yeah, it's really a great device. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Oh, the Nexus 7, I should have met. I will say that. Dropbox does let you share albums. Are they public then after that or not? If you're a sysadmin or you're in IT, you know the classic juggling act. How do you keep your company's systems running? Oh, yeah, I changed my Dropbox address, and now I don't know what it is. Crap. It made me change my password.
Well, if that sounds familiar, and I'm sure it does, listen up, because I have the solution that's going to make you a rock star at your company. It's time to harness the power of the cloud with Vertica, a leading cloud hosting provider with over 10,000 virtual machines.
Good.
And
fortunately, I remembered it. All right, let me go to that draw. Save that site. Yes, please. That's the new one.
For what you use.
Save.
That. You have a special.
All right, let me click that link again.
A few weeks, not a problem. Want to run your company's website, email, or billing systems?
No, he doesn't want to make it public, though, right? Is there a way to do that without making it public? Share a folder, right? That's nice.
Sign up today. Use the promo code.
Get link.
Get a $50 credit worth up to 2 months.
And it does a slideshow. Well, let me see. All right, I have a. I have a Dropbox.
Or visit them online at VIRTAC.
Let me open my account here.
Running a business, working from home.
All right. Let me see my Dropbox. How do I see my Dropbox? There it is. All right, I have photo folder. Photos. Okay, there's my photo folder. In here is the. No matter what camera size, uploads, so I could get link. So now I have a link to that.
Or package using your computer, your printer, no special links, no postage meter. Stamps.com even gives you a free digital scale that calculates exact postage.
Copy
meter.
Link.
No, all right.
Now, if I log out of Let me log out of Dropbox. Sign out. Okay, I'm not signed in. I'm going to paste this link in.
You'll get a no-risk trial that includes $55 free postage. It's worth $110.
Yeah. You get the scale, you get the postage. Okay, so you don't have to sign in. Stamps.com. You can see the...
You can see it.
Okay, so this does work. Stamps.com. So you could totally see this as a link. You can download these as well as a zip. And you don't have to have a Dropbox account. All right, so that's new. I'll mention this. That worked great. So you can get a link to a folder. Does it have to be in your photos folder? I guess so. That's how you tell it. These are photos. It doesn't have to just be folders. Oh, cool. Let me sign in again and see. Ironically, of course, my new Dropbox password is not as secure as my old Dropbox password because I wanted to make it memorable. Crazy me. So let's share a different folder. Let's share... Say I'm going to share this bricks folder. Get a link. There's the link. Copy link. These are all WAV files. I don't know why. And if I sign out, paste this in. Cool. So it's not private, but it's such an obscure handle that nobody would know it. Okay. I should probably delete some of these. I don't need this anymore. How do I delete it? I want to trash it. How do I trash it? New folder, share a folder, show deleted files. How do I delete it?
We were talking to iDoc Mark. He wanted to... share photos with people he want to make it easy for him and privately, and he was wondering about Dropbox. And I did just investigate. Dropbox has now added the ability to share a folder with anybody that do not have to have a Dropbox account. I'm happy to say, so this would be another good choice. Very easy to use. I like Dropbox a lot. I think you get 5 gigs free. Is that right? Still. I have a lot of gigs. I have like 200 gigs. 2 gigs free? Okay, but that's enough for a few photos. And you can share that folder. Now, of course, the folder is open to the public if people can figure out the URL, but it's a long, obscure URL, so it's effectively private. It's effectively private. So, yeah, that would be a good way to do it, and it would give you much of the same functionality, but there are lots of ways to do it, obviously. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. Back to the phones we go. And John's in Rochester Hills, Michigan, our next caller. Hi, John. Hey, John. Hi. Hey, how you doing?
Great. Listen, I'm thinking of buying a tablet from eBay.
Okay.
It has Android 4.0 and FlyTouch 6 on it. If I buy this tablet, can I upgrade the Android 4.0 to Android 4.1 and or 4.03?
Totally dependent on two things. A, your hackitude, your geekitude, how willing you are to mess around, or B, whether the manufacturer is offering that upgrade. So who makes this tablet?
It's a reseller out of Southern California, and I think it's a China product.
Okay. So let's say you bought a Nexus 7, $200. This is one running Jelly Bean, but let's say they come up with the next version of the operating system. Google would then push that out. You'd be dependent on Google offering it as a system update. It would be a over-the-air update that you would at some point get automatically, just as you would with a phone. I doubt that this Chinese manufacturer is going to do that. So then your other option is to do it yourself by rooting the tablet and downloading an updated mod. This is the hackitude, geekitude part I was talking about, because it can be a little tricky, especially with a no-name tablet.
Yeah, it sounds like it's over my head.
I wouldn't do it because you'd have to make sure that whoever's making these mods, and there are quite a few of them and they're great,
My favorite is the Cyanogen mod. They call it CM, and I think CM, is it CM10 or CM11 is the current one. But you'd have to make one for that particular hardware, and the chances are, since this is a no-name product, you're not going to ever figure that out. Now, how much did they want for it?
$149.95.
$200 you get a brand new, real deal Google Nexus 7. Great choice.
Yeah, but this has GPS on it.
Ah, this does not. This has no 3G, no GPS.
The Nexus doesn't. No, I know that. And it also, it's a 10.3 screen.
Oh, there you go. Well, there you go. For, you know, makes me nervous. Who are you going to ask for repairs if it stops working?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Okie doke.
All right, John. Sorry to give you the bad news. I think people do this a lot. And these are, you know, not Chinese knockoffs. Android's free. Anybody can make an Android device. Might be fine. But if it's not, who are you going to call? And don't ever think you can upgrade it. That's going to be tricky. That is going to be tricky. Actually, Mark was asking before the break what his daughter should get. I neglected to mention this Nexus 7. I love this Nexus 7 from Google, especially at $200. Now, $200 is 8 gigabytes of storage. That's not a huge amount. It's not enough, really, to load up with a lot of music and movies and so forth. Fine for books. Books take no space. You know, they're tiny. That's hundreds of books. In fact, I think the Kindle has less memory than that. So 8 gigs is fine for $200. If you're just putting text on there or apps and you're not putting movies and TV show and music, those can fill it up pretty quick. But the idea I think Google's trying to say is, look, you're not going to put anything on there. You're going to stream it all. Problem is when you get on that plane to Germany and you want to watch, you don't have internet access. So I like this. Web8130 says, it is the stingy man who pays the most. Good point. There is penny wise, pound foolish. VJ in Woodland Hills, you're next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. I have a Dell, Studio 1557.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a Studio 16, was very happy with it.
I love my computer, don't get me wrong. But yeah, the problem is, every time I run any kind of video, it just heats up. And the GPU shows, I run open hardware, you know, that...
Right.
And it shows 92 degrees centigrade on the GPU.
That's almost boiling.
Exactly, and I understand electronics, and that's frying time. That's
no,
silly.
That is actually much higher, I'm sure, than that chip is rated for. I've never seen a chip rated for more than, say, 70 or 80 centigrade. So that's not right.
Yeah, past 85, I freak out.
Yeah,
you know,
as you should. 40 is what you want to see.
Well, 40, okay, fine. I'll settle for 60, 70, okay. That's
now,
fine.
Razlak in the chat room is saying it's not unusual for GPUs, not CPUs, to go to 100 degrees centigrade.
Wow.
Because they're doing a lot of work, and they got a lot of transistors, and I guess that's not unusual. They can take a lot of heat.
Yeah, but, I mean, aren't you degrading performance over time if you're running 90?
Well, it just depends. If the device is rated for a higher speed, you know, you could go look up that GPU and see what its rating is for. That seems awfully hot.
Okay,
it's not
anyway.
Merely the GPU. Remember, it's in a tight, enclosed case. It's a laptop, so it's heating everything else up hot, too.
Exactly. Right. So to make a long story short, they changed the motherboard, the fan, and the heatsink about 18 months ago on my laptop.
Okay.
It was too hot. And everything was fine. Life went to normal.
All right. We're going to have to find out what happened after the break. I'm sorry. We're running out of time. Stay on the line, VJ. We'll get to you next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Seems like that's awfully hot. Are you mining Bitcoin, sir? sounds like they changed the fans and everything. We'll find out. Wow! That is awfully hot. Awfully, awfully hot. All right, now how do I delete this freaking folder? See, the problem is I'm using selective syncing, so these folders are not all on my system. My problem with sharing folders, the other problem is when you share a folder like that, can they delete the contents of the folder? MumbleMe has been discontinued. Thank you, I know. Not happy about that. Not at all happy about that. What is all my Norway pictures? I didn't know that they were there. It's a read-only link. Okay, that's cool. That's nice. I wish they had done that before. I was having a real problem with one of the radio stations deleting the spots. Just makes a web page. That's cool. That's fairly new that they added that, right? I don't remember that being part of Dropbox before. Bo-bo-bo-boom. Kevin Rose, John C. Dvorak, and Brian Brushwood tonight on Twit. It will be a Twit to remember. Then next week, it's the beautiful people. Callie Lewis, Shira Lazar, and Kevin Pereira. I'm just going to sit back and let them all be beautiful. It's a beautiful Twit next week. So this week it's Dvorak, Schwood, and Rose. Kind of like the old days. Hey, Michael! Oh, I have a feeling something special is about to happen. Is something special about to happen, Michael? No, you're just coming by to say hi? What is that you've got there? Oh, my goodness! Da 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 da. Wow, that's a great hat. Where'd you get that?
The Palm
Springs store. That's a 4th of July hat. I'm wearing that to Paris. Hello, I'm an American. What else you got, Michael? Anything else?
Nah.
Nah, nothing else? Nothing else at all? Just a hat? That's all you're going to give me? Yeah. What? There's more? Oh, baby, you're so... Oh. Yeah, look at them. Does it have a weight?
No.
Put it on the floor. It'll be just the right height for...
You think?
Yeah, it'll be right in the shot. And... Oh, you know what I like so well.
Well, I got what I like.
Oh, this is good. Oh. This is the best cheesecake in the world, J.M. Rosen. I pit this against any New York cheesecake. It's the best. Wow. It is handmade. It's made by hands.
Stars used to order it.
Thank you, darling. This is for our 900th. Why aren't there 900 candles in this?
Because
thank you, baby. That's so nice of you. Oh, that's great. Is who's live in studio? Everybody? Shh. They're all going to be in studio? Wow. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. We're celebrating our 900th episode today. Episode 900 of the Tech Guy Show. Launched this show on KFI in Los Angeles in January 2004. With the help of KFI, we syndicated it via the Premier Radio Networks in 2007. Is that right? We've been doing it on Premier for 5 years, I guess. Wow. So 900 episodes. But, you know, this is not my 900th radio show. This is my I don't even know. I've been doing this for a long, long time. But anyway, and also, you know, as long as we're doling out kudos, congratulations, and celebrations, congratulations to our local Little League team, the Petaluma National League team. The Nationals are going to Williamsport, to the Little League World Series. They won their West Coast Finals last night against Hawaii, and they're going to the Little League World Series. Nice job, guys. Pretty good for a little town like Petaluma. Pretty good. All right, we were talking to VJ in Woodland Hills, California. A very hot laptop. That is awfully hot. And you say they replaced the fans.
Right.
Replace the heat sink. Those are all good things to do. Is it still that hot?
Okay, then what happened is we can see that when the temperature gets up to 70, 75, the fan comes on automatically, and you know it doesn't really go up to 90 degrees for a while.
Good.
Okay. Fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, again, the temperature is hot. The fan is sitting at zero RPM. I'm like, I called them up. The Dell said, okay, we'll bring you back a new motherboard. Okay? So they put a new motherboard again, which is fine. Unfortunately, now when I'm in sleep mode, I have a lighted keyboard. The keyboard comes alive, but the screen is dark.
Ay, what the chinga dinga binga.
Okay, so I went to Google, and there's thousands of people with the same complaint, and there's like as many solutions as you can imagine. You know, change the BIOS setting, USB, change this. People gave up. Dell, you know, customer service gave up. Blah blah blah. And I'm one of those people. Well, Dell finally started putting me in a little circular loop of saying there's a wonderful expert technician who will call you, which never happens.
Ay, ay, ay.
And finally, I said, okay, let me talk to somebody in Texas. They said, well, sir, you can't do that because they'll charge you for it.
Yeah, this is just the free service, not the Dell Gold service.
No, I paid for this service.
Oh, this is gold. All right.
You know, I mean, they actually came to my house and installed the motherboard a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, well, that's good. They're treating you right anyway.
Right.
Fixing the problem, which is a big issue.
Right. And the point is that now what they're saying is the sleep mode problem, it's pretty rampant, apparently. I was not aware of that, and I finally got bit by it. And now they're saying that, well, if you want to talk to anybody, not in India, but in the U.S., you have to pay for it, which is kind of silly. And all they want to do is to reinstall the operating system, which I'm like, no. Doing.
Well, yeah, and did you try reinstalling? Because I'll tell you one thing that does happen with Windows. When you first install it, it looks at the kernel to see if it's an ACPI kernel, if it has automatic power configuration. And if it does, it will install one kernel. If it doesn't, it will install a different kernel. And it may be, for reasons I don't fully understand, that Windows has the wrong kernel on there, and so it's not coming out of sleep properly.
Okay, all right. So I guess they do have a valid point. I can do that myself.
I certainly wouldn't waste time with them on the phone doing that.
Right.
That I would try that. And you have the system restore disks, but I'd almost rather just use a plain vanilla Windows installer and... You know, back up your data first and do a fresh install of Windows and see what happens.
Okay. All right. Here are the side problems that popped up. Okay?
Which version of the OS is it?
It's a 7, Windows 7.
Oh, no, then what I just said doesn't make any sense.
Really?
It's on older versions of Windows, the hardware abstraction layer. Somebody in the chat room, I think he's right, says that since Vista, it hasn't mattered. That's an XP issue. So if you're running Windows 7.
Right. It's a very nice machine. You know,
it's a great machine. I was very happy with my Studio 16. So I would say, keep bugging Dell. Tell them you talked about this on the radio. You're seeing a lot of problems. They should fix this. This is their, how old is this, the computer?
It's about 2.5 years.
Yeah, so it's out of warranty, right?
I have a warranty. I have an extended warranty going.
They got to fix it.
They have to, right.
They have to fix it, and they don't have to, and you should not pay a penny more to get it fixed.
I know. The point is, I guess the main question here is, are they kind of giving me the runaround when they say that to call somebody in Texas, it'll cost me extra, or is that valid argument?
Well, I don't know what level of service you paid for, and probably what they're saying is that'll move you to a higher level of service. However, it is under warranty, and they have a legal obligation to give you a working computer.
Correct. Okay, here is the beauty of the situation now. It gets even more complicated slightly. When they changed the motherboard this time, and I went back a couple of days ago, and I'm looking at it, it says I have only 2 gigabyte memory, and I know for a fact I had 4 gig RAM.
Oh, that's not good.
How'd that happen?
They could have knocked it loose.
Oh, my God. Okay. So they could have knocked the memory loose, right?
Yeah. You know, here's what you do. You write a letter to Michael Dell. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. At this point, you write a letter to Michael Dell. And you document, and you be very nice. You documented everything you did, because you've done everything they've asked. Document how many hours you have spent doing this of your time, right? You say you called me on the radio, and I told you to write to Michael Dell. Now, what happens is Dell has an office of the president. Almost all big corporations now do, where somebody will get this letter, and they will handle it because this is starting to look very bad for them.
Right. Yeah, because I don't understand. Yeah, you know, the those guys are sitting in India, and I talked to the manager there. You know, sadly or happily, I do speak the language, but I didn't want to let them know that. But you know, it's funny.
It's not necessarily that they're not as good as the people in Round Rock, to be honest.
I understand that. Believe me, I understand.
But what I don't like is that they're saying, "Oh, we can't help you now." That's not true. Right. They have a legal obligation to get that computer exactly right.
Yes, I'm sure there's somebody there, a technician, who's pretty smart, who's not a call center person, who knows the real issues.
Even if there isn't, and you have to talk to somebody in Round Rock,
right?
They have to do that. You paid for the service. You have extended service.
Right. And now the memory is shot. I mean, I run Oracle sometimes on my machine, so I need 4 gig. And I'm like, oops, what the hell is this? I'm like, oops, you know, there's 4 gigs, there's 2 gigs. I'm like, what? So that was an interesting factor. And then this morning, I opened the computer and it says to the effect, the battery is bad, will not charge the battery. Completely.
So here's what you do. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. You we're going to post this the show, as we always do, on YouTube and on the website techguylabs.com.
Okay. All right.
You send a link to this question. It'll have a link right to the question. It'll say, VJ said, my Dell's screwed up.
Right.
And then you get Michael Dell's mailing address. Actually, I should be able to get that for you. I'm sure somebody in the chat room will pass that along to me. And you send him, or you can email him. I can give you his email address.
Sure.
It's michael_dell@dell.com. And you send him the link and you say, hey, so this show, it's on 180. You ever hear this Leo Laporte guy? It's on 180 stations in the U.S. You got a problem. Fix it. And they have a legal obligation to. You will hear from them within 48 hours, I promise.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because this is getting funny. I mean, the battery is bad, the memory is shot.
No. They owe you a new computer at this point. You got a lemon. Michael, fix it. Michael, be a good boy. Fix it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Michael, if you're wondering why I'm wearing this outfit, it has nothing to do with anything. I don't wear this every day. It's a crazy world we live in, more than any question I get.
We buy Dells all the time, and I continue to buy Dells. I like Dells.
Protection,
Dells are great machines.
From spyware, from malware, from viruses, worms, Trojan horses, keystroke loggers.
So I'm a Dell fan, and I would not recommend Dell. Every computer, look, this happens from any manufacturer. It's not, and I'll say this when I come back. It's not a question of does manufacturer X have better computers. It's a question of how they stand behind their computers when a problem happens. Because nobody makes perfect computers. You can't.
Try the latest.
It's not in the nature of a computer. All right, bring me cheesecake. Oh, with 90 candles, 900 candles.
935-ESET.
Thank you.
And don't forget to like.
You're very kind, Chad.
On Facebook and add ESET USA in your circles on Google.
Let's use this for the album art.
Special offers and exclusive content. If you use Windows.
You get that? You get the frame grab?
From ESET. In IT, it's challenging enough when your team is working from the same office, even more so. If you
can you work with that?
Members that work remotely. Nowadays, everybody does.
Yes.
That's why you need GoToAssist from Citrix. You could take control of your entire IT world from one simple cloud-based platform. GoToAssist. You keep all of your systems up and running while keeping all of your systems supported, no matter where they are.
Whenever you get it to that level, the office of the chairman will respond. This is nice. I like this. I'm going to wear this from now on. I saw you eating a piece of cheesecake. You mean you were standing outside the door and you ate it while you were waiting to bring it to me?
I was talking with your guest.
Plus proactive alerting.
I couldn't wait.
Fix those little issues before they become big problems.
He was smart. Steve said immediately yes.
Support hero. Go to assist. It's easy to use. It's up in minutes.
Is that not the best cheesecake you ever had? That's all I get, but that was really good. Thank you.
That's GoToAssist.com.
I did not, because I don't know where it is. I don't want to go through your desk. Yeah, I don't think he's been itching here, though. One bite's all I get, but that was a good bite.
Yeah, I don't know how many carbs is in one bite. That probably took me right out of ketosis. But that is good stuff. Well, it's mostly cheese.
Oh.
This is from J.M. Rosen's, which is a local cheesecake baker, and they are really good. They, I would say, are every bit as good as any Lindy's or any New York cheesecake I've ever had. They're really good. Oh, is that good? Write Michael Dell a letter. Yeah, good luck.
How to write a letter to Michael Dell.
I think if you email michael@dell.com or michael_Dell. He knows who I am, by the way. I've interviewed him many times. Nice guy. I like Michael a lot. I don't know how active he is at Dell anymore, but... Yeah, emailing Tim Cook works, says the Mac and Josh. He got a brand new iPad. Carnegie Deli cheesecake. Good, I've had it. This is every bit as good. But, you know, We have certain standards here. We don't put cherry topping on there, none of that chocolate stuff. No, it's got to be pure. It's got to be plain. It's got to be delicious. And this is the real cheesecake. You know, you can tell it rose and then it fell. That's what you want, right? So it makes it so dense. Yeah, the phone support's not good. They were famous for their great phone support. I mean, that was one thing I loved about Dell. Do I have an ad here?
You do, Carbonite. Congratulations on 900 episodes.
Thank you. Now, if Michael Dell's still watching, I just want to explain. We love Dell computers. I recommend Dell. We buy Dell here in my office. That's the business computer of choice. And I've been very happy with Dell for many, many years. I always had the highest respect for Dell's tech support. You know, when it was back when it was in Texas, you know, and you'd call, and I've been to the call center in Round Rock. It was amazing. Amazing. They used to have DJ playing music for the music on hold, and they have a big sign up that say how many callers were waiting on hold, what the average hold time was, and you had these really brilliant guys who were answering questions. But, you know, you can't, when you're selling a computer and you make $5 per, you can't do that anymore. Just that's the cost the price we pay for cheap PCs. There's so much competition. The pressure to drop prices has gotten so intense in the personal, in the world of Windows PCs that companies did the inevitable. They unbundled support. The free support you get is not great. It just isn't, because you're not paying for anything. They, you know, what kind of support you get from Google for your free Gmail? You get a Python script. You get a computer program. What kind of service you get from Facebook? When stuff's free, or there's no profit in it, they're not going to. And believe me, a tech support call is a costly thing. We're talking $25, at least. So there's the profit right there. So, of course, what they did is they unbundled it, and then they offer, additional support. And depending on what you pay for, you'll get better support. And I think that's the right thing to do. I mean, Apple bundles support in. Apple has excellent support, but you're paying 50% more for the same machine. Apple doesn't have the competition, so they can do that. I don't think there's anything wrong with Dell, and I should say right up front, every single computer manufacturer has problems like this. These things happen. That is not a test of the computer company whether they have these problems. The test of the computer company is how they respond to the problems, how responsive they are, how quick they are to fix it, how easy it is to work with them, how much of your time they waste. And you know what? You paid for an extended warranty. It's still under warranty. They have a legal responsibility to you. And I think at this point, if you write to Michael Dell, Michael will absolutely recognize that what the right thing to do is. He should send you a new computer. And I think most computer companies, if you're having a problem and you can document it and you're nice and you say this is what happened, they will fix it. And if they don't, then that's the time you stop going to that company. Hey, let's go to Lima, Peru. I was there last year this time. Augusto on the line. Hi, Augusto.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Not too bad. It's getting cold in here.
What can I?
Was the opposite in the States.
Yes, right. That's right. I was in Lima. Actually, I was in Lima in January or February, on our way to Machu Picchu. Was on the and then also down to Buenos Aires. So, I spent a couple of days in Lima. So, what can I do for you?
And hot.
And hot. Yep. Okay, it was
I have
great.
A big network. Big network at home. Okay, I have a gigabit network with over 20 devices, and one of the things I have is a FreeNAS server.
Well, you're a serious geek, Augusto.
Yeah, I guess so. And I have this FreeNAS server for video, okay? I have movies and TV shows and stuff over there.
Right.
And I'm trying to use my, I have a big Sony Bravia 3D TV, those 54-inch TVs.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to browse the server and be able to watch the video from it, and I can't make it work. What I have to use right now is a PlayStation as the browser and use that to play, but it's cumbersome. The TV should do it, but I cannot get it to work. I don't know what's going on.
So the Bravia, does it have a built-in browser?
Yeah, yeah. It has those internet-ready TVs with all the bells and whistles. But it just doesn't work with it.
When you say it doesn't work, what happens? The browser opens, the window opens, but nothing happens, or?
No, you can go. You will see that the server's there, and once you try to access the server, it says unknown error.
Yeah. How about if you try to access the Sony pages?
Yeah, that works.
So that's the test, because you know they've got a direct connection to their support. This is one of the reasons companies now are building browsers into their TVs, because that's where all the help and documentation is. So that's working. So we know the browser's working. It's just the public internet it's not getting onto.
There's no support related to something like this. And I'm guessing the problem is related to permissions to access the FreeNAS server for the client. But the client...
Okay, so you can browse the public internet, just not your FreeNAS?
Exactly.
Ah.
Where I'm supposed to ask for a username and a password.
I see. All right. So you can go out, you could look at YouTube and watch a YouTube video, but you can't go watch the videos on your local network attached storage.
Exactly.
And is it password protected?
Yeah.
Do you have a web server running on the FreeNAS?
Yep.
It's turned on. And you can surf to that FreeNAS from other computers on your network.
Oh, yeah, I have five computers, a couple of tablets, a phone, a couple of Android phones. They can all access the FreeNAS
okay.
server.
I would guess, and the chat room's guessing this, and I would guess they're accurate, that it is just that the Sony browser isn't sophisticated enough to support the password, the basic authentication that the NAS wants.
Okay.
So this is a it's early days for internet-connected televisions, and the browsers in these TVs are not Firefox. They're not Chrome. They're really bad. They're really bad. And I would guess almost certainly, I think the chat room hit the nail on the head, that the browser that's built into the TV just has limited capabilities. And one of the things it needs to support is authentication. And I would guess that because that's what the FreeNAS is asking for. That's what it's a pop-up window, right, that has the name, login, and password. And I would guess it's not working. Oh, now they're saying that it's IE6. Is that the case, really? It's IE6? Wow. You're not, now, Augusto, you're not trying to do DLNA with this. You're trying to browse it as a browser, right?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I'm trying to access the network via the system. The TV has a system by which it will go, like in the PlayStation, you have access to video stuff, you have access to pictures, music.
Oh, that's DLNA. Okay.
That's kind of the same thing.
That's either Samba,
yeah, DLNA, exactly.
Samba or DLNA. And you've got both of those turned on both sides, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the FreeNAS works great. I can even use my tablets and go and watch video on it and push it to other devices.
Okay. And do you know if it's using Windows Media Server, DLNA, what? See, there's different kinds of servers. You need, here's the basic, the fundamental. I can't diagnose the details of this, but the basics of it are, okay, I understand. I thought you were trying to browse your way over there. You're trying to access a server. So you need a matching media server on both ends, or you need a media server on the NAS side and a client on the TV side, and they need to match, whether it's SMB, DLNA, Windows Media, whatever it is. They've got to be running. You've got to have a server running on the network-attached storage. That's going to serve you the video to your TV. And the TV has to have a compatible client. So I think that that's probably the issue there. That's about as far as I can go. I'm so glad you're listening in Peru. Beautiful country. Really loved it. Great food. Great time there. We're going to continue on a second. Paul is trucking through St. Louis. He's stuck in a backup. He's got a Verizon phone. And he's getting Chinese on it. He says, this is a Verizon problem. Oh, no, Paul, I'm running out of time. Well, I apologize. I thank you all for being here for our 900th episode. The website, techguylabs.com. I'll see you next week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. I'm Leo Laporte. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, the Tech Guy is just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows now on the Twit Netcast Network, and you'll find them all at twit.tv. We talk about Windows and Windows Weekly, Macintosh and MacBreak Weekly, iPad on iPad Today. You get your daily dose of tech news from Tech News Today and our weekly roundtable show, This Week in Tech. It's all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next time with another great Tech Guy podcast. Thanks for joining me. See you next time.